We're all alone.
Wow, what a big meeting. We got a big one tonight.
Good.
Okay. Now, we did post the meeting. Everything was properly posted?
Absolutely.
Okay. Did we actually print an agenda for this or not?
No, there was. It was a notice and agenda.
Was this one here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then it's 7:03. We'll call the meeting to order. We have all members except Mr. Gilmore present. Board members are all here except him. And we're here for the rules, regulations, architectural changes, landscape changes, whatever there may be. We have a handout. We will just go through the handout page by page, and everybody can chime in when you have your notes. Did you get a set of these, Neil? You didn't print them out. It was an email. Yeah.
So I didn't. I was on the email.
I have another copy here. I'm just trying to figure out where it split.
I figured there may be another person that needed a copy. So
we'll take a second.
He sent it to me today, but
okay. No problem. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
I did try to go through with it.
It's a lot to go through, and a lot of it's just reading. There's no changes, so.
Yeah, I saw some changes on. Some rules.
Okay.
There's
a couple of things that. While we're waiting for her to find that, I did talk to Joanne's assistant, and it looks like she thinks we are right on the appraisal. Joanne does. She looked at it briefly before she left. She'll get with me after she gets back, but she thinks we're okay.
So she got it.
She got it. I sent it to her right away, so she had it before she went away on the night.
Yeah, because obviously my email didn't go through.
Right, but she had it because I had sent it to her. So she's fine. So that and we'll reconcile that. D has agreed to take care of the hot wire, so we'll move forward with that. Just a couple of sidebars real quick, and of course we had to have a decision on the bingo situation, so that's going to be taken care of. That's no longer allowed. I talked to both Deborah and the insurance company, and they said, oh no. First of all, gambling with money is on an organization like ours, you can't do. As long as we're talking about rules and regs, you can't have money changing hands at this type of organization. And you can't have, if you did it by strictly the law, there's a code. It is 849, statute 849. If you did it exactly by code, you kicking our table here?
No, I dropped. I was leaning on it.
You could technically, if every single person in the room lived in the Meadows and every dime went back to the people without profit, technically you would be able to do it. But if it's not all residents to the community, it becomes a problem. And the person leading it was that not from the community, and half the people were not from the community. And I don't know how the money was handled, but they just said, you're better off staying away from it. And if you bring in strangers out of, coming to an operation that's not actually sanctioned or legal, then you also expose yourself insurance-wise. So they said it's best you just get away from it. So on a rules and reg thing, it's not a good idea. And I did ask Mark to check into these other games that take place here and make sure, like poker and mahjong and all this, whatever they're doing, that nobody's exchanging any money so that we don't get ourselves in a...
I'm not sure if they're all residents. It's a small group that plays those games.
If they're playing games without the money, I'd have to ask.
Imagine they win money, but it's
They do.
You do. You play by a card, and whoever wins the game, that's the basic idea. Some people play with not for money, so they could continue to play if you said there is no money involved.
No money.
Right.
Yeah, they do. You know who runs the mahjong?
I think there's a couple of different groups.
Different groups. It's Tuesday, Thursday, and Wednesday night.
Who has a list of all these people?
Nobody. They just show up.
They show up and open our door and come in and
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, that's yeah, that's scary.
The cards too. When they play bridge,
Do they spend money? Do they? Okay, so that could probably be Carol Purcell.
Carol Purcell
could handle ask the questions of bridge.
Wow, we are just like
the Indian casino. Okay, we're a gambling bunch of people.
And they play poker on Wednesday night. And
well, they're
Wednesday night.
Yeah, if they're playing for money again,
But if they're all residents, it doesn't matter?
I didn't ask about poker or mahjong, only the bingo. The bingo has its own statute, bingo, not gaming, just bingo, because that was a situation where they said if every penny goes back to the people playing and there's no house profit or personal profit for whoever's running it. But again, everybody has to be a resident of the community. I just think we're playing with, a bad situation. If there's any money in any of these games, then we need to find out and stop it, because we just don't want to get into that mess. Legal stuff, we don't need aggravation. Okay, so, Mark, we need to find out who and what and all of these things.
I'll check with laws.
Yeah. See if they can come up with a list.
Again, they were all given permission to do this back years ago.
Oh, yeah, and I don't... They weren't trying to be illegal, but the point is, in this day and age, legalese, you just don't need it. You don't need the aggravation. So we need to find out, and every single one of them has to be devoid of any type of money transaction. Now, they want to go off to, Starbucks and exchange their money, that's fine, but nothing here. Nothing here. All right. We're talking about this. Was this estoppel actually done? Or is this something we're talking about tonight?
Again, it isn't a rule or regulation. It would be a policy statement. The board's policy right now is, one of the purposes for putting some of this list together had to do with different ways of gaining revenue for the association when we're in financial difficulties. Or we still are, but anyway, increasing the estoppel fee, we are allowed by Florida statute to go from up to $250 for an estoppel fee. That's the transactions. That's the work that Jennifer deals with. There's a lot of back and forth, and so we thought that's an opportunity to get some revenue. That happens for any resale or of a property.
All right.
So I didn't know if there was any thought to increasing the estoppel fee. That was one way of earning additional revenue.
Okay. Well,
the estoppel fee when you close, the estoppel fee is paid by the buyer or the seller?
I think it's paid by the buyer.
Yeah, I think it's the buyer because it's to make sure of what they...
That everything is paid in full before
right.
you take ownership.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so I think it's on them because the seller would be conflict of interest to disclose, so the buyer would be.
What's the $150 that I have to pay?
That's an application fee.
Application.
So I guess we should talk about it. So how are we doing this? Are we making notes for the next meeting? Is that
I mean, this is sort of a workshop. It's something to get in your head a little bit. We don't have to make a decision on it.
Application fee? Are you saying it's paid by
the
owner?
Transaction.
Part of the closing costs.
Right. It comes up on your closing statement.
Do we want to lean, or do we want to start at do this meeting and kind of lean like we might want to do that, raise it, or what do you think?
In this day and age, I think $100 sounds a little low with everything else that goes on.
Well, I mean, inflation is like through the roof. So
you could do like 100. I don't know if you need to go to 250. I have no idea what the going rate is.
The majority of them are 200 or 250.
Are they really?
Then I think we're going to do that because we are one of the most sought after communities around here.
I don't think it's going to stop somebody from buying the house.
No, not if they're buying the house. So we kind of lean on next when we actually vote, we kind of lean on the 250. Mm-hmm. Do you think? Is everybody kind of thinking? Is that okay?
I mean, we're kind of a premier community.
All right. Okay. So then we'll lean that way.
To people that are coming in.
Right.
We're all already living here.
And definitely, it's on your phone. You don't see it. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff on there. Okay. What are we talking about with capital contribution?
The association has the authority given in our governing documents to have a capital contribution account. Basically, usually it's It's anywhere from 1 month to 3 months working capital. It's
called
working capital that when a new purchaser buys one or up to three months of assessment that is put into a separate account, bank account for capital improvements. And initially, this is a big thing that developers do when they first start properties. And we had a capital contribution established many, many years ago, and then it was done away with once the association took over control. They decided to eliminate that. But again, we still are allowed on any new purchase, new sale of a unit to collect if the board makes that decision. Again, it's 1 month. A very common amount would be 2 months association dues or fees that would be put into a separate bank or a separate account called capital contribution. Those would be for improvements on the property and that type of thing.
They are limited to what you can spend that money on.
They are.
There are some guidelines. I can't recite them, but there are some restrictions.
Capital improvements, capital construction, that type of thing.
And I'm a little foggy. They coming from where? Where are they coming from?
They would come from the purchaser, the new purchaser of a unit.
Oh, so you added on top of a fee to move in 1 or 2 months of capital improvement contribution. So it is a real contribution. They don't really get anything out of it. It's for the community.
Well, okay. Harbor Ridge is 100 grand.
Oh,
last number.
Right, it is.
Last number I heard.
What about Pipers? Are other ones?
70?
Yeah, 75, I think. Yeah.
And I just looked at a boat over there and talked to a resident, and he says that's hurt that community.
Oh, you can buy yourself a 4-bedroom, 3-bath for about $200,000.
Exactly.
But there's $100,000.
Yeah, but then.
Oh, that's what I mean. You have to spend so much at the club every month.
Right.
That's right.
At Willoughby Glen, we had a $150 capital contribution, and that was in 2015.
All right. So do we have any at this point?
They only have a pool. That's all they have.
Yeah. Do we have any at this point? Any capital contribution?
We do not.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what you think?
I tried to buy up in Virginia, buy $7,500. I walked away from it.
That's still a lot of money. Do we want to do something, though? I mean...
So in our community size, what would be a fair amount of money?
Well, a typical community with our type of amenities and so on would probably be around 2 month assessment.
So you're thinking 3,000?
Yeah, that's what you'd be looking for.
2 months, not two quarters.
Oh, no, 2 months, not two quarters. So 1,000? It depends on which community, but it could be up to 1,000 if you're talking about the Capri's. So we would have to pick a number like $750 or something.
Would it be the same for all the different types of houses?
Well, yeah, but they're all doing the same amenities.
Yeah, because you're paying for the amenities.
Amenities, right? Yeah, so maybe $750.
So capital contribution funds could be used on playground, tennis.
Right.
Common area.
Common
upkeep and,
what do you think? Anybody have an amount in mind?
And 750.
$500?
500, yeah.
500 is swallowable.
I'm not a huge proponent of them. I'll just be honest.
Well, we keep it reasonable.
I wouldn't want to go over 500.
All right. Then.
Up to 500 in a real estate transaction, you can kind of do with that. But once you get above that or close to 1,000, I think...
$499.99. Yeah.
And you get a free toaster.
I had gas for years on one of my business till I threw the oil company. I always got a kick out of 0.9.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. No, it was actually... a full price,
I actually walked away from the
I'm sorry?
Community that had them.
This goes into a special account, right?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I got a new set of hearing aids, and they're working. One at a time. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Capital contributions go into a separate account?
Yes.
It would be tracked separately, yes. That's correct.
It will be marked like capital?
Yes, capital contribution account.
Would that have to be a statutory reserve or just an account, a savings account?
It is restricted.
It becomes a pretty protected account.
Okay.
in my understanding.
Okay, it can be, but it can be, it's different in the fact that it's not
assignable to one specific area.
Right, so it, as long as you use it for what you're supposed to, you can get it out at any time. But you can't use it for something that is not designated.
If we had those funds, Mark could have used it for the windows in this building.
Right.
In my understanding. Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right.
So should we look at the definition of that to really clarify what we can use it for?
We can, but we're not voting tonight.
Well, I know.
That's what I mean. We'll research it between now and then.
And I don't think we want to pigeonhole ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be careful collecting that money, have some flexibility as far as the law goes to be able to use it.
Right.
So I don't know whether I'd try to make a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's exactly what we're going to use it for.
Yeah. Oh, no. It would, and well, couldn't anything in capital expenditure be under that moniker?
I would say anything that would be a common element, improvement, or construction.
You're
would
doing
be.
A pool, tennis court, you're maintaining a park, you're doing a basketball net, you're
bathrooms.
The gate, the gatehouse.
Roads not.
No.
No, because they're separately, right
separately
now,
funded?
They're separately funded
yeah,
and separately categorized.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Neil has a question.
Do you know, on average, how many transactions occur?
It really varies. You know, we had such a hot market, you know, a year ago where we were having 8 or 9 transactions, 10 transactions a month.
Really?
Okay.
And, yeah,
well,
and then sometimes
sign in like one at least a week right now because I have to sign them, so I'm signing at least one a week.
It slowed down tremendously. I mean, for a while there was like we couldn't, I mean.
I have a question. What about a lease thing? Do we charge any fees?
Not
on it?
Well, there are fees, but not there's an application fee and, of course, the background check fee and so on that basically is reimbursement to the association.
And I have
they're
questions
using
about
the
background check.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think that it puts us in a really bad position because, so we do background checks, but even if the person comes out as being the worst criminal in the world, sex offender, et cetera, like all those things, we still have to allow them in because according to our documents, we can't prevent anyone from buying or coming in or whatever based on what comes up in the background check.
So
one, what's the point of the background check? Two, are we opening ourselves up for liability? Because doing background checks gives an implication of if something comes up and it's really bad or whatever, then they can't come in. That's the implication of a background check. Otherwise, you don't do them, right? If you're going to do it and then you're still going to allow everything and anything, then it's just the implications, I think, could make us liable and for something that would happen. Like if let's say that someone moves in, they're a registered sex offender or whatnot, and again, they're allowed because the background check says nothing, and then someone gets assaulted in the Meadows. Now, the first thing that they're going to ask is, well, wasn't a background check done, and why were they allowed here? And then if our response is, well, the background check is just for no reason, then we're liable at that point because, again, like we did a background check, we still allowed them in, and then...
Let me answer the question.
Yeah, please, because I was going to ask why we did them and what do you stop when you do them.
Tim, you want to go ahead?
Yeah. I was a little bit of an architect on this because a lot of other communities were doing background checks. If we didn't do the background checks, we wouldn't have any idea about people's backgrounds. You're exactly right. Sex offender, bank robber, we can't keep them out. I'm sorry?
We can. At least sex offenders, we can.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, conversation I had with Deborah, she says, when they come back, let me know. Let me be involved if you've got one. To my knowledge, we've not had one for somebody.
The only time we've had an occurrence is a guest, visitor of someone.
A visitor. You're exactly right. When people find out that you're doing background checks, if there's anything shady in their background, they're probably not going to come in here and go through with the transaction. So it's sort of an automatic deterrent. Again, we were one of the last communities to do that. I'd be a strong proponent of keeping it because I think it has been beneficial.
I know of recently, I don't mean to interrupt you, but under sex offender list, there is somebody listed in this community on Waterfall who was
a visitor.
He's a visitor, yeah.
He's gone now.
Okay.
My neighbor watched it, and she told me when it went away, they took him off.
Okay.
But he was visiting his mother.
But there are restrictions that we can set in place, even for, like, visitors and things like that, because all of those things have to get approved if they're in for, like, a specific amount of time, and especially with sex offenders, they have to do a change of address every time that they are going to spend a certain amount of time out of, you know, their normal residency. And so I was reading up on it a lot, and there are certain guidelines that we can set in place as far as, you know, if, like, you know, registered sex offenders or whatnot are not allowed to be within 2,000 feet of our park and our pool and whatever, because, again, like, you know, kids are there and things like that, and that covers the entire community, so then, therefore, they are not allowed to be in that area. And I think that protects us.
Well, the instructions that I've been given when this, and this was a lengthy discussion we had with the attorney about how we proceed with this, the instructions that I've been given, because I'm the one that reviews the background checks, and typically what I do when I get the background checks, I go through them in great detail, and then if there's any kind of notation about any kind of legal issue, even a DUI or something like that, I typically give that to the president. I have not run across any sex offenders, but the instructions that Deborah gave us is that if you run across something that is significant, bring it to my attention, and then we can address it how we need to address it in whatever fact, because each situation can be have its own merit and issues relating to it. So fortunately, I haven't encountered that other than we've had a few DUIs, a few misdemeanor marijuana smoking or something like that, but have not had any major, basically felonies type of things going on.
But even for renters, I think that it's, and it's great that we have that process where, like, things get sent to Deborah, but at the same time, if we don't have a written process that says, you know, like, when a background check comes back, if something comes up on the background check, then it gets referred to the attorney. Then, again, like, the documents, anyone can argue and can fight that the documents don't state that, you know, that's the process. It just doesn't, it really doesn't say anything about what happens if it comes back with anything and everything. And I think that demographics are changing. I think that there's a lot of people with a lot of really bad background checks that are more decently able to afford places in here and whatnot, especially if they're drug dealing. You know, like, there's just a lot of different things.
Well, I like what you said to me, and it made me remember it after you started talking. You said a private community, when you were reading, is able to set their own guidelines as long as it's a private community. And she had a good thought. If we know the distance, maximum distance of our community, we make that the criteria. So then that way they can't even move in. They can't even, a sex offender, you can't be within 2,000 yards of the pool or this or that, then bingo, they're automatically excluded.
They don't know the side of the fence.
Yeah. But, whatever decisions are, this is a very, this could be a legal quagmire, not only in the direction that you're talking about, it could be a legal quagmire for the association as well. So it needs to be carefully reviewed, however, whatever the policy is, with legal counsel on how we proceed.
Oh, yeah. But I think if we're able to do that, because I know she reads in depth, we should ask Deborah, and I'll ask her. And if we can do that, I think that that might be something that would save us from having a sex offender move in.
Right, and I think it's more so of a question of, like, does she want to do the paperwork for it or not? Because as far as, like, can you do that, you can. It's legally something that you can do in Florida.
Right.
And it's, like, there's no issues around that. I mean, we have the legal ability to do it. It's more so, like, does she want to do do that, and then how does she want to word it, and what kind of writing does she want? Obviously, like the wording is
the legalese
part that she has to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's something that at this point I think we need.
I think we should look at it, and it should be also pertaining to leases.
Yeah, and also like if someone's like, you know, coming in for a specific period of time or whatnot, like I think that should also be requested.
Well, if you set the limitations on distance from, let's say, the pool, if you thought about 2,000 yards or whatever, it doesn't matter whether they're visiting mom or what they're doing, they can't come in.
Yeah, you hit on a very good point right there.
Yeah, I think we should research that.
That we've never addressed, and that is we have residents, men and women, that have very close friends that come and live with them for a while. And we find out, you know, after they've been here 90 days or 6 months or whatever, and those people have refused background checks in a couple of cases, they absolutely should be published up front that those anybody over 18 that's going to be staying for an extended period of time needs to have a background check.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Because we're running into that right now. We have the guy on Waterfall that moved in with his father, and we're keeping an eye on him. Also, like, we stood there at the pool when he blew the stop sign at over 40 miles an hour, just phew, right down Waterfall.
Yeah.
What's the extended period of time? 30 days?
2 weeks.
I think any like probably more than 30 days or 50, yeah. Like.
Yeah, you could have somebody come for a week or so. I mean,
do you have the right, or do we have the obligation, I should say, to let them stay at all if they fail a background check?
I would not if it's a sex offender and it violates our.
That's what I mean. Right. I don't think it's 30 days.
Because the rule is like it's not that we're not allowing them to live in the home or the place where they're trying to rent. It's that we're not allowing anyone with certain crime offenses or things like that to live within or to be within this amount of feet or
distance.
Whatnot from the recreational areas where the children are and things like that.
Falls,
children are expected to
right.
be.
If that falls to the boundaries of the community, oh, well, you can't be here.
Right.
Do you remember Deborah's comments to you and I in her office? When we talked about this, she says this is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Right, because it's about wording. So, like, if you say, like, you can't, like, you won't allow anyone with, like, sex offenses in their backgrounds or whatever, that's very different from, because you're preventing them from either purchasing a home or from
right.
renting, whereas if you're preventing them from being within a certain amount of, like, a certain distance from mm-hmm. the facilities of the community that are meant for children, that's mm-hmm. different because that allows you to actually set those things in place to where it's not a slippery slope, it's simply clear cut. If you have this type of crime of like or offense, you cannot be within this amount of fence, which legally speaking, like they can't and they shouldn't. And once we notify the sheriff's office of that, then anyone that petitions the sheriff's office to change their residence to anywhere here will get automatically denied because the sheriff's office will know that we don't allow that.
Question. Mm-hmm. Or what is the criteria of sex offenders living within schools? Are they allowed to live within 2,000 yards?
No.
There's a big restriction on that.
There's restrictions. The thing is that that's when they're on probation or certain things like that, and they have to register, and they really are not typically allowed. But because this is a private community, it makes it different. Like, we have a park, so ideally that visitor should
right.
never have been anywhere near where the park is because there's that guideline. But because it's a private community, it's a private park, then...
I was just looking for guidelines or criteria to say there's, you know, our criteria that they use, so we would use something similar for our community. That's
yeah.
all.
And there are other HOAs that have done it, and they have, like, the specifics as far as, like, what to write in documents and how to put it, and they've had no issues. Yeah.
Okay, they have to say certain feet away from school,
right.
school buses.
Because
it's
public.
Yeah,
and we've got, like, a bus stop for kids, mm-hmm. everything. There's all these things. So each little thing creates that new distance. They go back by the pool, there's another distance. The playground, the bus stop, everything. We just need to know the maximum distance that we are employed in and make sure that's the reaches we want to use. And you say, no, you can live here. Oh, but you can't be within this distance. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have anything available.
Question. So if there are already regulations in place that they can't be in proximity of a school bus stop, we have a school bus stop.
Yeah, but if you're in the far reaches of the back, we want to make sure it's far enough. And
not even that, but so because this is private
playground
property.
Too, don't forget.
If we allow them to live here, then the sheriff's office has no reason to deny them moving here, even if it is right in front of a school.
Right.
We could mimic the county rules, but we don't have to.
Okay.
That's what she's saying, and I agree. And I think that's a great idea. We should look into making that so that it automatically, they can tell them, well, no, you can't go there. That address doesn't have a place that's far enough from the restricted area. And that's good.
Yeah. I want to share with you a little wrinkle that we ran into in talking to Deborah that I think everybody on the board needs to be aware of. Let's say Melanie sells her house, and she wants to buy a house in Greenwich. According to our current rules, you have to go through a background check.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Because we don't know what you've done or, you were excluded originally. We've had residents quite upset about that.
Yeah, she made it.
I've been
there
twice.
No, but that's fine.
They have concurred. Yeah. At the end of the day, but once we explain to them,
things can change.
And I think it depends also on the wording and the documents, and if there's something about, referring it to the attorney for the attorney to make the determination, then it's up to Deborah's discretion whether she is going to allow it or not.
So basically, we have nothing, even after we find out somebody robbed a bank or whatever, we can't keep them out. It's only the sex offender thing because of distances that we can really restrict. Not restrict them from living here, but making restrictions that make it impossible for them to live here. But anybody else, a murderer or anybody, can come in. We don't have any way to stop them.
Well, that's where
they were convicted and served their time, served their punishment. Yeah, they're almost not scot-free, but they have a lot of power steering.
Well, and it really depends. I didn't look into any other offenses to see if there can be certain guidelines or exclusions or things like that.
Yeah.
But I do think then that becomes a slippery slope where it's which offenses and why and then,
exactly.
You can say felonies or things like that, but then again
convicted of felony. I know people have done it. Defending someone, you get into a fight and there's no good witnesses and they convict you because you were in the fight and hurt somebody and you get a felony and here you're a good guy trying to save somebody from getting hurt. So it is slippery.
So it depends.
Yeah.
Because a felony, it's only a felony if you hit someone that's over the age of 65. If you hit someone that's under the age of 65, that's a misdemeanor battery or simple assault or touch and strike.
Well, let's say they were over 65. There's a couple old guys I've wanted to hit. But I'm an old guy. Does that give me a...
You still got a felony. And if you hit five, then you both get a felony.
We're felons together. Yeah, probably a laughing joke. But
drug
anyway.
Dealers, nothing on them. Arrested for drug dealing, selling, and that is... It is what it is.
I have to see.
That's a big
one. Yeah, the only one that would have interest is a drug dealer because drugs and schools and playgrounds and things. Maybe it could be stretched. I don't know. It's worth because you're good at that. Maybe
you have to look into it.
Yeah, see if drugs can be added to sex offender distance. Yeah, selling drugs, around the playground or something. Anything we can do to make the community safer is good. That's where we want to go with that. Okay, we better move. The parking at the Meadows House.
Okay. Currently, we don't have a written policy. We just have a verbal policy. When someone calls up and says they want to park up here, our policy is 3 days max, but it is not written anywhere. There's no rule or regulation that specifies the amount of time that someone can park up here overnight. Ordinarily, you say, well, why would we care? Well, we have very limited parking up here, number one. Number two is we have, if we don't have a specific rule that gives a specific number of days, we're getting it's very difficult to tell someone who comes in on a regular basis. We've got a guy in Greenwich who has a big dually, and he, every weekend or for the three maximum days then in a row that we'll give him. Now, if we opened this up and we didn't have any restrictions on that, then he could theoretically come in here. And technically right now, there is no restriction. They could have, he could park up here as long as he got permission. Now, the caveat to that is that our internal position has been 3-day maximum, but there is no backing for that.
Well, I would vote to change it to 3 days.
Yeah, if we're saying that, we should adopt it and make it the precedent, the reality.
What if you did something for, like, you had to buy a permit for X amount of days if you wanted to do that?
I think that would be a good way to make some revenue.
But the other thing, right, yeah, I'm along with that, but before we get just this parking lot, I am really interested in opening up that same operation at the pool parking lot.
Both?
It's sitting there at night empty. If we can make money on it, like if we go this way and you buy a permit and you can still, there might be, we can put limitations, whatever you guys think. But I think we really need to open that up to use it. I mean, what's the problem? Why? Why does it have to be an empty parking lot at night?
Well,
if there's permission given.
Right. And I agree with you up to a point. What do you do on weekends?
Yeah.
When you've got...
What do you do at 8 a.m. when the workers come in?
Well, no, I'm worried about Saturday and Sunday.
Well, yeah, these are where your rules come in.
When you've got 16 pickleball players and 14 tennis players and people at
the pool. I get that, but...
They've got that lot full of...
What time are they legal back on the street? 6 a.m. So whatever we give permission to park in there...
A lot of early morning pool people that swim at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that one's a tough one. But the point is, if we say you've got to be out of there, if you want to park there at night at the pool, you have to be out by 6 a.m.
So why don't we allow it during the week? Don't allow it during the weekends at the pool, but then allow it here over the weekend and during the week.
Yeah, I'm open to all this. That's why we're
that
doing this.
Prevents the potential for people parking there over the weekend and then there being issues or whatnot, but then during the week it should be a lot easier. And also, if there's 15 parking spots and, 16 people petition a permit or whatnot, then maybe only, 13 can be approved. Mm-hmm. So then we know that...
Some of those are handicapped, too. So
you're talking about allowing pickup trucks to park inside the community and overnight outside.
Well, if we're going to talk about that, I want to bring up...
Well, I know.
Yeah, that's too long.
Yeah,
but
that's
no.
What I'm going for.
But that would be no different than parking here a pickup. Parking a pickup there at the... Oh, I see what you're saying. It's beyond the gate.
Right.
I get it. But the point is it's off the street, which is the thing that a lot of people get offended about, that, they bought here because...
I live in Lakemont, and yeah. Now you let people park up at the pool in an open parking lot. You don't let me park my truck in Lakemont? What's
I get it. I agree.
Why not? We allow it all day long, but not from 12 to 6 where everyone's sleeping and no one can see them. It's...
Well, the only, the thing you're opening up that you're not, and I understand if it was a perfect, clean, easy world, but like I said, we all need to get in a bus and go to Oak Ridge on a Sunday and ride through Oak Ridge, and you will be aghast at what your community will become. Because Junior, I sent a picture to a couple of you about, I didn't want to offend you, I sent a picture and said, this is my new truck, can't wait to put this puppy in the driveway. 40-inch tires, all from the factory, right left the dealer, right out of the factory. 40-some-inch tires, jacked up in the air, big running boards, the whole nine yards. Junior buys that. Daddy might have that beautiful little pickup that looks great, looks like an SUV with just the back cut off. Junior doesn't want that, and you can't stop it. And you'll have it everywhere in the community.
But that's because you have poor wording by an attorney that's
not great.
No,
you can't stop it.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. I absolutely disagree.
Yes, you can. So legally speaking.
It's a factory pickup.
Legally speaking, and there's other HOAs that have done it, legally speaking, you can limit the size, the tire size and the size of the truck that you allow in. Because
good luck. They tried at Oak Ridge. They tried.
Who's going to regulate that? Who's going to enforce it?
The other thing is, what do they have in the back of the pickup?
The covenant enforcer. They're going to measure those tires.
Yeah, they're out there in the dark measuring.
But here's the thing. We allow Junior's truck the entire day to just sit there, but not during 12 to 6.
The idea of that is to discourage people from having the truck in the first place.
Well, you don't.
They can't put it away. Yeah, you do, because we only have a few violators, really.
Well, violators,
but if you allow them to do it, you will have these trucks everywhere. I'm telling you, it's a nightmare and a half. I fought it.
Well, we already do during the day. There's a lot of trucks everywhere.
Okay, so hold it. So let's go back to the parking.
Yes.
I'm hearing what you're saying. So we have to figure out the parking.
Yeah.
But I think if they did see trucks at the pool, it might cause a problem. I don't know.
I'm open. We don't have enough parking here to accommodate.
I have a comment. Allowing parking even in this parking lot or in the pool parking lot of trucks that are not allowed to be parked overnight in the meadows to me seems counterproductive. If you're going to allow parking, it's if you've got a vehicle, you've got company, or you've got too many cars or something like that, they're the ones that should be in this parking lot or in that parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Saying you're going to open it up to trucks in those parking lots, then you're going your direction, because then you're really completely ignoring your own rules by saying that we can have trucks as long as you get permission and you're in those parking lots. So they could get permission for the pool parking lot for 3 days, then they could get permission for this parking lot for 3 days.
Yeah.
Lois and Jennifer could spend all of their time with permits to go back and
forth. If somebody has a solution,
cost to it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be, okay, somebody wants a permit.
Here you are. Yeah.
If there's a fee to it, it's not going to.
Right. I agree. The fee thing's fine. There's no perfect answer to this.
Okay. If you're going to go with
fee-based, here's something I've thought of. If we have any extra space anywhere, why not make it a truck parking lot? That's fee-based.
Where? Okay. Where do you want to do that?
When I come by, and I don't know because I don't live there, but when I come by Lakemont, if you're coming down Waterfall, that first when you go back into Lakemont, there's that big parking lot that's right there, on that street right there. It seems like there's a lot of space right there.
Oh, there is.
I know what you're talking about. Parking, and if you're going to use that, I mean, eventually we could build a little garage, and we could put them in a little garage all night long, but you'd have to pay a garage fee.
Well, somebody has to pay for it. The residents can't. Right. Yeah, I know.
Well, the thing is that you'd be taking parking away for Lakemont, because not everyone in Lakemont has a truck, and then there's a lot of other people that do have trucks. So you'd be taking away a lot of the – because a lot of those most of Lakemont has barely any guest spots, like barely any. And then if you're an owner but then you have more than two cars or whatnot, then you have to find an empty parking spot, which are even more rare than the guest spots, because you can't park in the guest spots. So then all of the guest spots are at the beginning of Lakemont, because there's barely any moving forward.
I haven't paid close attention. I'm not trying to say that I have, but it just seems like that's usually open space, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a plant that I hear where they have family coming in for the holidays, special days, they have no place to park. And I think we should address that, not so much on the trucks itself, but, we should accommodate.
So what you're saying is we could use the pool for cars, for regular approved vehicles.
Yeah, I would rather do
that. That's also a good idea.
That's the way I see it right now, because I think that we could solve that problem right now. Solving the problem of pickup trucks.
We can't.
You can't discriminate. You can't say that you're going to allow all of the other cars that are not allowed typically to park in here overnight, but you're going to allow all the cars except for trucks. Like, you can't discriminate. It has to be, if you're not allowing any of these things to be parked overnight in the meadows, but you start allowing like one or two or three, like, you can't do that. You have to either allow all of them or none of them.
Yeah. The issue though is. This is a covenant change, which we can't do anything about tonight anyway. It's worthy debate, and we've had it probably five or six times in the last 30 years. But it's not going to. There's nothing we're going to be able to do now about that, because it's a covenant change, which requires a whole process.
Yeah. I only have one comment, and I'll shut up, and we'll move on.
Yeah.
People are supposed to read the rules and regulations and covenants before they buy. they sign a document that says that they did. Every one of us have signed that document that own a place in here or have rented a place. And what gets me, and I have no patience with whatsoever, is somebody that comes in here and buys a place and then goes and buys a damn 25-foot truck that won't fit in the garage. And the covenants say, and rules and regulations say, up front, if you have a truck, it's got to be inside. I don't have any patience with that. I agree.
But you're going to go in. You can't go in. The community doesn't adapt to the buyer.
A deed-restricted community.
Right. The community does not adapt to the buyer. The buyer adapts to the community.
Absolutely.
It's that simple. And I fought that before over there. I had problems.
When I moved here, I had a $42,000 truck. I sold it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't get it in my garage. And so...
Like you said, we started with three nights here. Do we want to make that an official?
Just one quick question. The trucks that are being parked here, are there owners here? You know, I see trucks being parked up here at night. Are there owners?
Frequently there are. Sometimes they're guests, but more often than not, there's owners, there's guests, and there's frequent guests. By frequent guests, I mean someone that their boyfriend comes over for the weekend.
I got it.
Okay.
She understands.
Okay.
And the thing is, like, it's just dumb because it even limits some Jeeps.
Well, they do have a Jeep pickup that is a pickup, but the other Jeeps, I see them.
So if the Jeep doesn't have windows in the back,
is that
even though it's the same small size.
I get it.
It doesn't look like one. That's restricted.
Do we have a restriction on Jeeps at all?
If it's an open bed, yes, there's a restriction on it. We had an issue in Lakemont.
I know a few people that have Jeeps that do not have a cover. They've got a little short open bed, and you're in their garage every night.
Right, okay.
But you don't have garages in Lakemont.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's
it. All right, so I know the answer to this. We're going to build garages in Lakemont.
There we are.
We had a Jeep in Lakemont where the individual had...
The boyfriend.
Yeah, the boyfriend, where he ended up having to get a
cover.
A Jeep, you know, what do you call it, side cover.
For the back end.
Yeah,
for the back end.
Yeah, we can get a little hard top for that.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go with Yuri on this. God forgive me, I hate pickup trucks in here. But anyway, the thing is, then what stops a guy from putting a cap on a pickup truck and calling it an SUV?
Mine did have.
Yeah, I know. If you do that, if you allow a Jeep to put a little canvas back on it, I mean... you got a problem because then the pickup truck can put a back
on it. A seat in the back.
Guess what? I have people that have put seats in the SUV in the pickup trucks with seatbelts.
And the thing is, like, if we didn't allow trucks in general, I wouldn't have an issue with it. Like, okay, we don't allow them. But we allow them all day long, except from 12 to 6. It's the most nonsensical thing that I have ever read.
I get what you're saying, but the reason that is because of the ones that would come if you didn't have that garage rule. I'm telling you, monster trucks galore if you didn't have the garage rule. But let's let it go. We're right. We're not going anywhere with this.
How about as far as permits? Can we do, you know, a 3-day and you have to pay for it?
Right, and if you want 7 days, you pay a large...
You mean in the parking lot?
Yeah,
in the parking lot. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that because we have Mr. Pareto there parking, you know, consistently here. So maybe he should purchase a right parking. Yeah,
maybe $10 a night?
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem.
$10 a night?
Because visitors that come with a big RV like I've seen here, they could care less about paying 10 bucks to park it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a resident, you know, maybe they'll finally get the idea that they can, you know, maybe they might want to get rid of the stupid pickup if they don't need it.
I think a fee would be a good idea.
Yeah, $10 a night, and then if we allow them to park at the pool parking lot, then it can only be during weekdays, but obviously, like, not Friday night. So Friday night, Saturday night. And then do we allow it Sunday night since it's going into my...
See, I don't know if parking at the pool is a great idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just me or not. And the only reason is, you know, one, people come and swim early. So if you have cars that are there till 7 in the morning, that can pose difficulty to people that want to go swim at 5.
Well, the sixth thing could be imposed, because if it can't be out on the street 12 to 6, then you got to come down there at 6:15 and get your car out, or 6:15. Well, then that's another problem, because our guard isn't going to be on duty at 6 in the morning.
Right.
He's going to be there at 4.
Do we know how many parking spots we have there?
Up here?
At the pool.
At the pool.
I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Because let's say that we only do 5 spots.
There you go.
We have numbered for five spots.
Yeah, exactly. A sign, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're the only ones you can use, and you have to do it by a permit.
Yeah, right.
That would work.
And if there's, like, let's say a total of 10, then we do maybe 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that way it's limited.
Same with up here, too. You don't want to use all the spots because
Correct.
You need to keep some open for...
Yeah, maybe, you know, the ones down...
You know.
By the way, I have a basketball court down there, too. But we're talking about midnight. They have to... A truck has to be out of here by midnight. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Not if they are overnight, allowed to park overnight, though.
If they're in this parking lot, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. But off the street and out of the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if this would be an issue, but I don't know if, because there are agreements within the things within the PD agreement with regard to number of parking spaces available to residents, recreation facilities, and so on. And if we are taking away from that number,
but
does
that
create a problem?
Is that in?
I don't know.
Is that
we're still allowing
it to sit?
Because
yeah.
It's only residents that are reserving them. So it's still available to residents. It's just a matter of which residents and whatnot. And I don't think that we should, like, label them. I think that we should just, you know, only hand out
well,
3 permits.
A resident parked down at the pool unless they have a pickup truck. You're sure you're now going back
well,
to pickup truck?
Yes,
God bless you.
God bless you. Overnight.
Yeah.
And
you could restrict the pool to cars, guest cars, you know, not pickups.
Well, I don't think that we can do that because, again, you're discriminating against things that are allowed versus not allowed.
Well, technically, you're right and you're wrong, because we technically don't allow pickup trucks inside the gate. We allow pickups here at night in the parking lot.
That's not what the documents say.
Oh,
the documents just say that it's not allowed.
So then this is illegal, too.
This is Meadows property.
So this is illegal, too, let them park here, too. Oh, great.
That's kind of my point. I mean,
which, again, it's my whole point. It makes absolutely no sense for us.
I get it, but you're still away from me on the what you're going to get when you allow it.
Okay.
We got to get away from
I got
the
you,
company.
Neil, right?
All right, what are we doing with the parking out here? 3 days? Are we going to make a rule?
$10 a day parking pass.
Okay. Cause
I think $10 a day, a night, yeah. And then maybe if, like, they're not out by a specific time, like, like let's say they're still parked at 7:30 when the office people come, then there's, like, a penalty for not leaving at whatever time. Yeah.
Because I visited somebody in Yacht Country Club yesterday, so I have a little thing that goes to the dashboard and I'm allowed to do this, and that's it. That's all I can do. So.
Oh, the car.
Yeah.
You get something that goes on the dashboard. Just
yeah,
park anywhere. So that's what you get.
Yeah, a lot of places have that. Sunset Trace, is that in places they give you cards and stuff?
Oh, no, not
here.
Still,
I got another pen.
Tim, don't they have that still? Do they give you a card at Sunset Trace when you go in to put on your dash, or do they stop that?
But also here,
they stop that.
Oh, okay.
That's just an example, but they can turn off something in the office. They can make up little
forms. And
we used to have it here.
Oh, we did? Yeah, okay.
Like you said,
the
paper.
Think,
okay.
I mean, it depends on what they've been doing. I think it's probably, if it's out here, it probably has to be
you go to a campground, we can do
12 hours or 24.
Yep.
You know, the frequent flyers are going to freak out at this. You know that, like Beretta on my street with the dually? He's going to freak out with his charge. He'll be definitely parking in Publix.
Yeah, which that poses another issue.
Yeah.
Because if someone gets run over, then we're liable.
I know you're saying that, but I am going to argue that one on you, because first of all, they broke the rule buying the vehicle. Second of all, they chose to go to Publix.
No,
they could have gone to
not illegal to buy it or own it. It's only illegal or, again, the rules to have it overnight.
It's illegal.
That's the problem.
Yeah, but it's illegal to have it here. What they do with it is on them.
It's not illegal to have it here. Huh. It's illegal to have it here overnight.
Yes, but it's illegal. It is their responsibility to find a safe place to put it, not
so
ours.
Can we go to the motorhomes and campers and we can get
oh, yeah.
right into that?
Yeah, yeah, the ones that are parked up here sometimes.
Yeah.
The other issue with regard to fees and so on, let's say we issue a pass, put a pass in for them, $10. You know, there's countless guests that come in here beyond the time frame that we, and we don't even have a record of that person ever asking permission. We have no way of tracking who that person is necessarily.
We can tell them. It's in our documents.
Mm-hmm. We can
tell them. It's in our documents. If it wasn't in our documents, like I would say no, but it's in our documents.
Man, I'm not sure I'd want to be telling somebody's $200,000 RD and having one of our homeowners having a hissy fit.
Well, no, but if it's a guest, if we don't have any record of that vehicle, if they didn't ask for permission or anything,
like somebody's kid comes to visit and they park their
expensive.
Right, they can.
Yeah, oh yeah, they can if the office is open.
Well, I don't think anybody that has an expensive RV or any RV is going to park it out there without knowing that it's okay.
Well, I've seen them park here. I don't know if they're going to get permission.
They've gotten permission. You're not just going to park that and walk away.
Most have, but we have had the instance where someone's, I'm coming up from Miami. It's Friday at 5 o'clock in the evening, and, you know, they're at some Key Largo camping ground. They're coming up here. I'm going to go visit Mrs. Jones. They pull it up here. We've had that happen, too. There's a lot of things that go into the parking issue.
Yeah, there is.
That we need to kind of think.
Developers, with the rules they created, really needed to create a blind parking area in here where you can't see what's parked in there and you can give people a fee and they can park anything in there. That's what should have been done.
I'm trying to think of one around that might do that.
They're down off of Map Road, I think, one of those places has a parking area for boats. And is it Riverland or one of them? Run them down there, I know. I went to somebody's house, and they had a parking area for that. Fox Run or something over there on Murphy. They have a lot where people park their boats and things and all. And that's not a big community. I think they made a big mistake here since they had these rules. They should have planned. They got all this greenery land. We can't even build a damn basketball court, a decent side for these kids. And yet we've got all this greenery land and nobody thought about a place to park vehicles that are illegal with nice big hedges.
Different.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at Meadows House, $10 per vehicle, no pool parking. Is that the?
Well, we shed a good idea, like just how many spaces are there? We can use 1/3.
Okay, and then what are you going to allow in those parking spots? Any vehicle?
I don't know. I'm open on that.
I think if a truck goes down there, I think we're just going to have residents all over our faces. I just could see it coming. Gary, I'm not going against you at all. But I just could feel it coming because the residents that do have large trucks, they moved their bedrooms back in. Well, you don't have any parking where you're at. And that's they just feel it coming.
It's a tough one.
It is.
It's a tough one. All right, so you can, now you're saying you don't think it's legal that we would say only cars could park back.
No, it's legal. We just, if we get sued, they'll win because there's case law already in place that says that if you allow one, you have to allow the other. And case law is something that you can't argue with because many people in many places have already won those lawsuits, which are then made into case law. So anytime that you sue someone, you refer back to the case law that's already been decided, and that's it.
You're saying that even at this parking lot here, even though it's outside the gate because we own it.
It's still Meadows property.
It's still Meadows, so it falls under the same no pickup 12 midnight to 6 a.m.
Right, and no campers, and no RVs, and no anything else.
So we're breaking the rules here.
Off the top of my head, there may be a provision that allows for a location at board's discretion or something like that. I'd have to go through
that. With permission, there are certain allowances and whatnot, but again, it's for all the vehicles that are not permitted. There's a provision for here.
Yeah. Well, then, that's right. So this then we're not in violation here at this place because the board apparently has allowed it, is what we're saying.
And I have to look at the documents, but I'm pretty sure there's a provision for the parking lot out here.
Okay.
But we can't restrict or limit one or the other. It just has to be all of them. But then if we start using the pool one, then obviously like that, again, it's the same type of thing. So I think that if we're going to do that, then we just don't allow the parking at the pool. And we just keep this one and then with the paying the amount or whatever.
Mm. I think we need to research this.
Yeah, I think we do.
And,
I think there's a lot to...
factual about what we're doing.
Yeah, because we're doing a lot of supposition more than we are absolute fact. All right, well, again, but we can make it three nights, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's something we've talked about.
The number.
We can restrict it, is that what we want? We're not voting, but I mean, is that what we want to make a note about, three nights?
Okay, so Meadows House, $10 per vehicle. You're still on that track?
Three night max.
Okay.
Just so I have some guidance on putting this together.
But are we going to also limit, how often can they request three nights? Can they request three nights every three nights?
Or consecutively, or once a week?
Well, there aren't, when you go.
I mean, if they're paying, does it hurt us?
Well, I don't know. It depends. But when you go to Jonathan Dickinson, I paid the homeless people and bought them tents and provisions. They can only be there 14 days. They can't go out for one day and come back. It's 14 days per 30 days. So you can have a restriction that can say three nights per week, three nights per 2 weeks, whatever. You can make it whatever you want. That's what rule we can make. So the three nights, is that per week, or they just have to go away one night and they come back again?
Per week.
Is that everybody? I mean, we're not voting, but is that the consensus? Do we want to make the note per week, three nights per week?
That's easier, I think.
Okay.
I was going to say something per month, but it's just as easy that way.
Yeah, all right, so per week. Okay. Seriously?
The other parking issue is next point. Define regulations for parking inside the community. Lakemont and Ridgewood Sun Terrace units do not have garages. Each village has two parking spots assigned to a unit. Define how the guest parking spots and unmarking spots can be used, i.e., only by residents/visitors of that particular village or as overflow parking for visitors in other villages. We've had some instances where there's an unmarked spot and someone in Greenwich has five vehicles and they can't park them, so they're parking in that, not a guest spot, but a blank spot. So we don't have clear definition as to those, defining those provisions for the parking of those spots.
I recall we had a board meeting sometime in the summer, and this situation came up, and the board sat around here and decided and said that those spots in Lakemont were for Lakemont residents only, and no other village residents were allowed to park them. And that was said at the meeting.
I think we said the opposite, because it's almost impossible for us to determine. I mean, unless we can run every single tag every single day, it's impossible for us to enforce that. And as someone like representing Lakemont, like it's just impossible. Like how you can look at a car, but you won't know, oh, that's a Greenwich car.
Yeah, how do you know who's violating and who isn't?
We've also had situations where we had a Meadows resident who lives in here and had barcode on, who was caretaking for someone in the Sun Terrace unit. So they parked in their guest spot. And yet it was
legitimate.
Yeah.
Right. I think honestly guest spots are just for for guests. Where they come from, who knows? But as long as they're guests. If the resident is from Greenwich and they're a guest at Lakemont, that's a guest spot.
Yeah.
But I believe if they're homeowners and they're like parking there overnight every night, then it has to be an unmarked spot. Like if someone in Lakemont has three cars, then they have to park in an unmarked spot, which is like where's Waldo?
Who's regulating guest spots to
It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
That's a tough
yeah.
one.
Yeah. That's why I don't think, like, we should just limit it to, like, only Lake Mon, because it's just impossible.
Yeah.
Even for the Covenant Sky, like, it's
oh, of course not. We would have no way of knowing.
So what's our resolution to it? That they are?
Guests with our guest spots for whoever's guest.
It would have to be complained by an owner that somebody was using their spot. That's the only way you're going to do anything.
Right, guest spots don't belong to anyone.
Right.
They're just for guests.
They're for guests.
So the spots belong to guests of the Meadows.
Yeah. So if you have a resident that has two vehicles and they're parking in a guest spot, they can't do that. They have to find another spot.
Well, according to our bylaws, they can.
They can?
They cannot.
Right.
You can get a fine and a violation
right.
for that if you're a homeowner.
Do you get two spots?
Yeah. Do they make sense? No. They're all over the place. They have random numbers that are not in order. They make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Oh,
none. It's chaos.
That might be something to think about.
It's like you go from 14B to 19A and 19C, but someone may have 1C and 1A that lives in the same home, but they're across the street from each other. But then someone may have, like, I have 14D. Both of them are 14D. But then my neighbor has, like, 1C and 1A. But are 1C and 1A in order? No, they're across the street from each other.
It was all put together by the developer. It was assigned parking.
I'm sure we have
I think everyone would get along with that.
There may be an issue with that in the governing documents. I don't think they're deeded, but there is some language in the covenants that dictates how those
parking spots are.
Yes.
Yes, it's based on the lot, or it's not in the covenants. What's the other one? The one that's super long. No.
Corporation.
Articles of Declaration. Yep. That's where it's like the parking spots are tied to the home or whatever.
But they have to be randomly this far apart?
Really?
Well, they don't have to be. So actually, some people from Lake Mon wanted to bring up like changing, because some of them that are next to them are guest spots. So they have one parking that's here and then another one across the street, but it's because there's a guest spot in between. So if they just move the guest spot over here and then move that there, then it makes sense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there any real rule, reason we can't, you know, at one point make sense out of the parking over
As long as it stays with the same number or number and letter that's in the articles, then that's fine.
You would reassign the person instead of changing the designator on the curb.
No, you would just change the number on the curb instead of changing the resident.
You also run into, inevitably, it's like the sprinklers, what time the sprinklers come on. You're going to, inevitably, it's going to upset someone if you move a spot to somewhere else. You're going to...
But if you move a guest spot somewhere else, no one can get mad, and if they do, they have no basis for it.
Well,
because, again, it's a guest spot. It's not for them. It's not for homeowners.
Well, you got a homeowner that guest spot now is further away from where their home is, then they consider that an issue.
That's not their guest spot. It's just a guest
spot. A guest spot, yeah.
Right.
I see what you're both saying.
Yeah.
You're right and he's right because, my grandmother comes. She used to be able to come right in. It was right there. Now you moved it way over there.
Right.
She's
going to
get run over.
But what if someone else parked in that spot is not their grandmother? Then they can't complain about the person that is parked there because
get more it's a mess. It's a mess. Okay. So what are we doing on this?
I think we just leave it at their guest spot.
Okay.
They're for guests.
They're for guests at the Meadows.
Yeah.
Whether Greenwich guests, Lakemont guests, whatever guests.
I think we just leave it very vague. Like, they're guest spots, they're for guests.
They're open for anybody.
Okay. Got it.
That's it.
Okay. Motorhomes and campers, how long they can remain inside the community to load and unload?
Overnight.
Overnight?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. In the rules it says no.
That's fine.
Until 11:59 p.m. and then that's it. You can be back at 6:01.
We're going to have a meltdown here in a minute.
You were allowed to get permission to leave it overnight for one night.
Yeah,
she's going to pull this hair out.
We had
right now, but she's going to have a hold of it.
Yeah, we had permission. We had permission for overnight when I was running Marble Point. We had overnight, but you couldn't start camping. And we could plug them in, but you could only be there overnight.
Ooh, imagine allowing camping.
I wanted to bring up something on this land item. I've had several Brighton residents playing, then other Brighton residents brought their RV in on Sunday to unload it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know how we stop that. I mean,
I thought I read in when I took my test, there's a state thing about that. I thought
they could come in.
They can't. You can restrict them from overnight.
No, they're not overnight.
Right, but you can't restrict them. I thought it said you couldn't restrict them on Saturdays and Sundays.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
There's been some residents that want to
squash them.
Stop that. And they don't like the fact that they come in at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and they unload until 5:30, and then they're gone.
Oh, they got to get over it. I get this clan down the street from with a dually that's there. He comes up the street at 5:45 every morning with his diesel dually. So, I
just want to bring it up and sort of nip it in the bud in case anybody is going to agree with
that. I don't think we can
that.
Restrict that.
I would say just definitely not overnight.
Yeah, as long as it's not overnight, then...
Not overnight.
Well, then they're going to have to get over it.
Yeah, and they've got two neighbors that bring their boats in late Sunday afternoon. And
How come these people haven't been all over 2847 and 2829? They both have, one has a van he's building an RV out of that we sent a letter to. The other one has an RV in the driveway. And it's been there many, 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 many times.
They were both gone today.
When did I give you the house number? Was it yesterday?
I can't remember.
It had to be yesterday. What's it say? Today's Tuesday. Monday, he was there Monday.
I have a picture of it.
Yeah, I took a picture.
No, I know it's been there. I'm not disputing that.
They were gone today?
This afternoon, the green van.
The RV wasn't there yesterday, but the van that has not full windows all the way around, that's completely out of compliance, that was there yesterday because I took a picture of it.
The RV was sitting up here yesterday.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the silver colored.
Yeah, the one from Vermont?
Right.
Yeah, it's from
up here yesterday.
Yeah. Or no, the one that's not finished is from Vermont. I forget about the other one.
Massachusetts,
yeah. Right. Anyway, those people are totally, they've gotten letters, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to have a time frame on it, not overnight, loading and unloading only up to 6 hours?
Well, they can't park overnight. That's
a
regulation on that. But
perhaps if they get back from their trip at 4 and they're out of here before they're in violation, or what, they get here at 5-6 in the morning and they're out of here before.
I think we just specify that, like, as long as they don't block the driveway, they don't block someone else's parking.
Right, or the sidewalk.
They're in compliance with
everything. Yeah, but they don't stay overnight. I mean, you got to be reasonable. I mean, I used to RV a lot. So
one of these is 44 foot and one's 46.
They would be blocking a sidewalk.
Yeah. Well,
they park on the street.
Up parallel with the end of the driveway.
Oh, so they park in front of their own driveway.
Right.
They're not blocking anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, work trucks and trailers do that kind of blocking. So all right, so as long as they're not there overnight, no overnight.
At 12, they have to be gone.
Yeah, they can only be there from 6 to 12 the one day.
Per Yuri.
So
Yuri.
Yeah.
For the document.
No overnight. Okay, dumpsters. There are currently no rules about how long dumpsters allowed to remain in a driveway or parking space while renovation work is being done by a homeowner. Specify the same time frame as pods, i.e. 5 consecutive days, may not be brought in or out. Well, now there's a Sunday and holiday thing, not being brought in on a Sunday or holiday. So we're regulating pods for 5 days, is that it?
Yeah.
But dumpsters, we don't have any regulations on.
And that was instituted within the last 15, 18 months.
The pods?
The pods.
Yeah. Okay, so now...
Because the popularity of the pods has increased quite a bit.
I can tell you from having 34 dumpsters on my job on the ocean, that can be a royal piece, but no, so well. I got away with it. They allowed me, as long as it was hidden behind some brush, wasn't obvious, I was allowed to keep it there and keep changing. I had them for like a year and a half, I had dumpsters.
So, it's hard to hide one in this community.
Yeah, in this community you can't hide it. I had a great big huge driveway with monster trees. But bottom line is, so what do we do if they're not regulated? Do we?
I think you could gut a house and fill a dumpster in 5 days. I think 5 days would be more than
enough. It was 5 days, I think.
Well, but here's the other thing. There is a way around it for a contractor, since I'm a project manager. You fill the damn thing, get rid of it, wait until you need another one. Don't just leave them sitting there. Wait until you need another one and then bring it in for 5 days and load it up and get it out. Because the people, they'll come and pick them up like that. You know, I'd call and they'd be there the next day and get them out. I would think, I mean, and if you're going to be more than that, that means that you're going to fill, it's going to be a 13 cube unit. They're not going to put the 20 cube units in here. They're too big. So you're talking about a smaller unit, and you fill it up and you get it out. 5 days should be plenty.
Keeping it consistent.
Has anybody tried to keep them longer? Do you know of anybody trying to keep
them?
There's
been instances when we have, yeah.
People always push it, but...
You know, and again, some of the people's renovation projects, it's more detailed type situation where... You know, or they've got one or two guys that are doing it. It may take them 3 or 4 or 5 days to load up a dumpster, and you know they want to fill it up. If the money's worth.
Well, yeah, but it's not that crazy expensive. I think I was paying $300 a dumpster for 13 yards.
Part of your renovation project,
yeah. It's another few hundred bucks.
But if it falls on a holiday, you have to give them that allowance.
Until the next day to get it out of there.
And if it's Sunday.
It's the same policy as pods.
Yeah.
It's the same policy as pods.
Is that where if they get it in and it's going to go on to a Sunday, they're allowed to take it out the Monday or how?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
All right, well, then that's fine.
So that's
very reasonable.
It's the same policy as pods.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Okay, allow one flag addition to the... Well, everybody knows you can't regulate a U.S. flag, right? The United States of America flag. It can't be any bigger than 4.5 by 6. That's the only regulation you can put on it, period, in the story. Now it's what can you do as a decorative flag to go along with it. That's what we're talking about here, what we have to be talking about here.
I think the covenants are pretty clear about what you can allow. I think the problem with this, the confusion is about garden flags.
Yeah.
A garden flag, and then an instance where I said, sure, you can have garden flags because our rules and regulations were passed in 21 say decorative ornamental flags are allowed.
There's a conflict.
That's a garden flag.
Right.
But it's a conflict with the covenants because then Mark wrote back and said, no, absolutely you cannot because it has to be a 6-10 building.
Well, that's in direct violation of what the...
Oh, when you say garden flags, you're talking about you
decorative
stick it in
flag.
The in the dirt.
So, in my opinion, you just got law garden flags. Because you can't change the covenants.
Yeah, I think, and Claudia's comments, which I think she sent to everyone, I think she had a good point on that rule and regulation.
And I think for the statute, you have to allow, obviously, like the U.S. flag would be a flag, but also the
military.
One portable, removable official flag in a respectful manner,
yeah.
Blah, 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 which represents the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine.
Right.
So regardless of any covenants, restrictions, or blah, blah, blah. So
right.
Would be in addition to the additional one.
But that's a, so that you can have a portable flag that is military,
mm-hmm.
that list that you had right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a seasonal flag or anything like that.
Well, the statutes only tell you, like, what... Whatever, you can make whatever covenant rules you want, but you cannot
restrict
those
yeah.
two.
Right.
So you can
right.
have those two, and then if you want to add then that they can have a third one.
A garden flag.
Right.
That's a covenant.
That's not really but that's not the question, because I don't have it
yeah.
marked off in the covenants, but the covenants clearly say that you can have
a different
flag. Huh?
Just one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's one. The U.S. flag plus one more.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Correct.
Right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It doesn't say anything about garden flags relating to the U.S.
Yeah, I didn't see anything with the garden flags.
It's two separate issues. The
yeah.
decorative flag, again, because our covenants say you can't, you can only have it if it's affixed to a building.
Right.
And that would count as one of your flags.
Right. One of your two.
So in my opinion on this one, I think that unless you want to change the covenant that says that it doesn't have to be affixed to the building, then you just get rid of garden flags.
Anybody have a love?
And I like my garage flag, trust me.
Well, one of the changes is to add the garden flag, but we can't because
it's a covenant.
Because the covenant's restricted, and they have to mimic. So say goodbye to that until the covenant eventually.
Well, until covenants are changed, we have to just nix garden flags.
And right? If you go throughout the community, ride your bike or drive or whatever, you're going to see a ton of garden flags.
Yep, it's violation after violation. And what do we do?
And if we've allowed it before, I don't know.
I'm trying to grandfather me.
And listen, if we've allowed them before, I don't think we can disallow it.
Ignorance is no excuse to the law. If the covenant preceded them being allowed to do it, it's still they needed to read the covenants before they moved in.
But the covenants say that the covenants restrict it, but the rules and regulations that were passed in 21 allow it.
Yeah.
So there's the conflict.
Yeah.
But there's an order.
Whose precedent?
So like
the covenant point goes first, and then the covenants,
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So the covenants go first.
The license thing and rules and regulations are last. It starts with the declaration and then the covenants. And
The decks would take precedent in that case.
It goes, so the rules are last. So if the rules are wrong, they're tough turkey.
There's a bunch of them.
If there's anything in writing that from us, from the office, from whatever, allowing people to have those, then...
Mark wouldn't do that.
Well,
no, the other issue is if there's an ambiguity or even if the board, a previous board approved something and then the board changed they can do that. As long as they follow certain procedures, and that is they have to notify everybody in advance, give everybody an opportunity to correct whatever that issue is, the board can change a rule or a guideline or a regulation that may have been approved in the past.
So how excited are we about allowing or disallowing garden flags? What do we do?
I like them, but I'm in favor of regulating.
I mean the real regulating.
Let's just modify the covenant to allow
garden flags.
Well, we can't do that right now, but you're saying put it on an agenda to do covenants?
Right. Because we're changing a few things of the covenants anyway, right? So, like, the whole painting thing and whatnot was something that had been, like, talked about before and discussed before. So if that's going to be a covenant change, possibly the trucks that you get someone else, anyone be
wanting
to. It's kind of Bill Gilmore, I have strong confidence if he comes back. So, you know, like, I just need maybe, like, one of those to make sure.
He wants the garden flag.
Right, my skeptical.
I'm sorry.
He wants the garden flag. Bill Gilmore wants a garden flag.
Yes.
I like my garden flag. I have to.
So I think we just allow the garden flag. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like you guys
know. What about this? And plagiarizing here, I'm taking this as off someone else. Any homeowner may display one official United States flag and one portable, removable flag no larger than 4.5 feet by 6 feet. Choices are... official flag of the state of Florida, official flag that represents U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, POW, MIA flag, first responder, EMT flag, frontline responder flag, decorative ornamental flag, holiday or seasonal, spring or Thanksgiving. So that gives you an option of having that as one of your flags.
And you have to add Space Force.
And the key is, but our covenants or somebody else's?
No,
it doesn't matter what you copy from them.
But that's just
that
what
actually I've read from both the state
The only reason I was coming out against it was because I looked at it from the viewpoint of I'm sitting on the covenants committee and I have to enforce these rules. Which one are you going to choose? You know what I mean? They need to be consistent.
I agree, but covenants rule over rules and regulations.
I think it's just changing the covenant.
Well,
we've already allowed it.
So we ignore the issue and get the covenants and fix it there?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I think we just change the covenants and the exact language
and
the language.
Obviously,
like, if there were
a horrible hatred for garden flags or...
No, I think based on the community,
I don't think
everybody likes them.
As long as they're mounted, they have to be affixed to the building.
No.
Oh, no, she's saying garden.
Garden flags are not
putting
affixed
in
to the
garden.
Ornamental.
Yeah, ornamental
That's
garden
the problem.
Flags.
That's the conflict.
Yeah, that is the conflict.
They are a stakeholder that goes in the ground. That's the whole conflict.
And they're certainly not going to be 4.5 by 6 feet.
No, they're small. Right. They're 11
by 18. But doesn't that count as a sign? That's not allowed?
It's a seasonal flag. It's like happy spring or something like
that. But then it has to be like a fix or whatever. I don't even know what that looks like. I've never seen one of those.
What? Like one of those metal things?
I'll get you one. Yeah. No. Separate. It's like a separate.
Yeah, they have a little metal thing and a little thing that sticks out, a little thing that says, have a nice day or something or whatever.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome. The world's falling apart.
Yeah,
and we're going to do
that. That would be considered a sign, and signs are not allowed.
Mm-hmm. But it's a flag. It's not a sign.
It would have to change. The covenant has to change in order to allow
it. If you want it.
So we can't do it.
No, that's where I'm coming from, that if you just go by the covenants, they're not allowed.
Not right now.
No.
But if we change the covenant.
Well, do we go to the extent of enforcing this not allowed at the moment? That's your question. You're saying there's a ton of these.
We haven't allowed it.
No, we haven't allowed it.
No, we don't have letters.
Yeah, I mean,
apparently people have it, so I don't think we can selective enforcement. We
it goes back to ignorance is no excuse of the law, but do we just ignore it for now when we start enforcing? Do we ignore it and change the covenant?
I think we should do that.
Ignore it and change the covenant?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for now, I mean, it's not like murder or...
No, it's really of all the things we're talking about tonight.
I haven't got a dog.
I thought it was her job.
You're here. I sent you a picture. I sent you a picture. I mean, in the scope of what we're talking about tonight, it's pretty minor.
Yeah.
So can you have a garden flag pass your front door?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, where you are, right? I mean, and in a single family home, you can't have it in the front.
So we're having a problem with the Centerris and Lakemont? Is that what's going on?
I don't know if Centerris even have a place maybe near their screen door.
Yes, I see one coming out their door.
It's going to be identified.
Along with the light there, all along in the night.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I know.
That's relatively new, isn't it?
No.
Those lights have been there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like
25, 30 months, yes.
I just noticed them a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I thought they were put up for Christmas.
No.
We let them stay up for Christmas.
All right, so we kind of been covering what's on the next page.
Yeah.
Except the rental, down to 6-month rentals is circled, but we haven't talked about that yet. We're allowing that because of seasonal type situations? Is that why we're allowing 6 months?
Yeah, there's a minimum 4 months in our governing document.
Oh, it's 4?
Yeah.
Well, then why are we talking
about
6?
Yes.
But you can only rent once a year.
Once per calendar year.
Once per calendar. If you rent that 4 months, you can't rent again another
4 months.
Supposedly
done.
Renting, yeah, supposedly.
Right.
Okay, so why are we talking about 6-month rentals?
What's the question I'm saying?
It's about, you can rent a house in here, you have to own it for a year. You can't buy it to rent it out. Mm-hmm. So after a year, you can start renting it. You can rent it for a whole year or 4 months. Why are we talking about 6 months? If you can rent it for 4, you can rent it for 6. I mean, there can't be any restriction on that, right?
It used to be 4 months. I don't know if you're extending it to 6.
Well, it's once a year. It is what I'm saying. Shouldn't it be just once a year if you do it for 4 or 6? I don't care if you do it for, 4 or 6, but just once a year. You can't have a revolving door.
4 months and then.
And maximum
have some
once
that are
a year.
Six, some that are.
Once a year, I know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Make sense to.
So minimal 4 months rental once a year. Period. Okay.
One fee that we didn't talk about, and I don't know if there's any interest in going in that direction, is the barcode fee. Typically, we charge $10. Associations charge anywhere from $10 to $30 for a barcode. So.
We're the only MDPOA gated community that charges for a barcode.
Okay. All right.
And we're charging $10.
MDPOA has a $10 charge.
Right.
For all the gated communities.
Right.
We're the only individual community that charges an additional fee.
Oh, the Meadows charges an additional fee?
Why do we charge it?
It's been here for years. I don't know. Way before my time.
Wait a minute. When I thought that's only if you don't go to the gate. I thought that was only if you didn't go to the pool yet.
Yeah, you do. It's $10.
Yeah, I thought if you went to the pool, you didn't have to pay that $10. If you went on, like, this coming Friday and Saturday.
So that's just the decal.
Just the
decal.
That's the year code.
Right, the year. Oh, so you're talking about to get the barcode original.
Originally.
Oh, I can't.
You get your vehicle registered.
New sticker?
Oh, I thought you were talking about every year.
And for a new car. Yeah.
Anybody that buys a new vehicle or you get a new owner, a new tenant, it's a $10 charge.
That makes sense.
There's
time associated with that.
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Well, there's also reimbursement. I mean, $4 a piece or something like that, probably.
Why is it only limited to, like, 2 days? Because, honestly, it's insane Like, it's limited to 2 days, and then...
Well, personnel, you're going to have personnel out there, and you have trouble getting volunteers, so if you start doing 3, 4, 5 days, you got to get personnel for all that. Where do you get them from?
But have you ever worked
Well, volunteers get a little weird.
So you just get a little paper, and then you take that paper over there. So
No.
You don't take it anywhere.
They put it on your car.
Yeah.
At the pool.
At the pool.
Have to go to the pool, and they scrape off your...
That's not what they did last year. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I just got a paper, and then they put it over there.
Did you get a new vehicle?
Yeah.
I did get it one after, but that was different. But no.
But the annual decaling, everyone goes through the line, and then they get their...
just their year.
And then there is no charge for that unless you're late and you didn't call us up. So if you don't plan on going,
is each code is specific to each person?
Each barcode, yes.
Yeah, it's specific to each vehicle.
Real quickly,
the reason that MDPOA does that is you would not believe the social engineering and the extent that people go to move those barcodes from one car to another.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And it also gives us here in the Meadows the opportunity to make sure that car is registered properly and insured properly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People sometimes get new license plates, and they don't, we don't know that. This gives us an opportunity to kind of just double check everything.
I will tell you, it's an irritant to a lot of people, but I think overall it's worth the effort, personally. Now, we have one of our gated communities that has elected not to do the annual barcode. So we told them this year only, we'll waive that and we'll see what kind of fallout, what kind of problems we get.
Mm-hmm.
So Monarch, Sunset Trace, the Meadows.
How much are the old black ones?
I'm sorry?
How much are the old black ones? My people want me to have.
The what?
There's like apparently like an all black barcode that some of the other communities that are in MDPOA have it, but we don't.
Really?
An all black one?
Uh huh.
I'm not aware of that.
Ben's seen it and he asks about it a lot.
He's asking a lot of questions right now.
The barcodes are black and silver. The barcodes.
Like they're like a darker.
Two shades of black.
They have blue ones, green ones.
My experience with that, they're all faded, and that barcode eventually quit working. So they probably ought to have that barcode updated.
Might need a different scanner or something. Too.
Well, I mean, sooner or later, the scanner's not going to pick up that barcode.
Yeah, I could care less about that barcode. But anyway, all right, so we're...
I don't
get the barcodes. We went from six-month rentals and skipped landscaping. How do we do that? Where are we not talking about this?
We haven't gone to it yet.
Yeah, well, we did all these things above, and we did the 6 months, so we really should be talking about landscape committee requests for additional concrete retaining wall.
Well, that's, I think if you look at the landscape, it may be in your package.
The city?
For the landscape.
It's in this one.
These are just bullet points for me, really. It's really not, it's some of it's duplicated. It's notations of items that have come up over the last year or so when we've been talking about putting this whole thing together, so it's not really meant to be necessarily an agenda. I think some of these are going to come up and
What is the issue? What is the recommendation for the item concerning fruit trees? What is the issue there? Why is that on the list?
I was reading about they want to restrict and get rid of all fruit trees because of varmints and smell and mess is the words they used. I have no idea. I mean, a lot of people have fruit trees in Florida.
I think they're trying to restrict anybody planting new fruit trees for a number of reasons.
I don't disagree with new trees. I really don't. I mean, I've got a lemon tree that's 18 years old, and it has about 100 lemons on it every year.
Ooh.
And I don't
know who's making lemonade for
we got trays of lemon juice frozen in the refrigerator. I have no rats, no varmints, I don't have any.
Yeah, I think that's a little overstated when they start talking about all the mess.
Well, I think it's people to take care of them. I mean, if Tim moved and the people that moved in didn't take care of them, then there would be rotted fruit on the ground and all kinds of other
things. Papayas, mangoes, star fruit.
In the back. You put it in the back and you have fruit dropping. And the gators start coming and everything start coming up.
Gators?
Yeah, gators.
So, I mean, I can see that. I haven't lived in an HOA yet that allows fruit trees.
I had heard that if you had a fruit tree, you were going to have to remove it. It's just a rumor, but
that would be very difficult.
I don't think you can do that.
It's grandfather. Yeah, you can't make a rule you can make a rule saying you can't plant one, but I think you'd be hard pressed making a rule saying you got to take that healthy fruit tree out and throw it away.
The thing is, if they don't maintain it. But with our documents, we are able to go in and fix it and then charge them.
That's different. Yeah, that's different. If they
the original owner of that house, Wally planted that tree.
Yeah.
Built a very elaborate planter and all that stuff.
Probably had underground irrigation and thermal warming, too.
I don't have the thermal warming, but the warming.
Oh, my God. This guy must have been something, but...
So the selection addition of concrete retaining wall blocks.
Are those kind of
if you look at the landscape package, the first page, it says the landscape committee would like the board's approval for the addition of retaining wall block edging as approved to its approved edging list. The blocks would be either white or gray or beige in color. It would be approximately 4 inches high by 11 3/4 inches wide, and 6.75 inches. Deep. They are to be used as curb edging for beds. Owners would be required to make necessary irrigation and drainage changes where necessary in the replacement of edging. Each case would be voted on as an individual case because of the difference between the topography of each property. All work would need to be done at the owner's expense. That's their request.
Do you have a picture?
Maybe I stapled it.
Is it those kind of curved ones?
4 inches high.
There it is. I stapled it to this one by mistake. Okay.
I don't think they need to put a picture together.
Yes, they're requesting that in their guideline they be allowed to add this additional edging. There's some other edging that's already been approved, concrete edging, but this is specific and it's more of
more modern.
More modern, but it also creates the ability to create a little bit of retaining. We've got some areas that are really that have water problems, and that if you can build up a retention area, you're diverting the water. So, and this is more conducive, from what I understand, to that type of thing.
Perfect on the game.
Yeah. Okay. So that's something was proposed.
Yes.
And then
the fruit tree. So that'll come up when we vote on all this.
Yes. And then the new plant list, which is the second part of that, which I don't. Personal level, they went through in great detail and developed a plant list, in-depth plant list,
and a prohibited list.
and a prohibited list. And this is what they're proposing. Much of this was included before, but there's a few additions and deletions. The person that developed this list or worked very diligently on that, I think, was a former landscape consultant with Devasta, so he's very familiar with the plant material and what.
He owned his own landscaping company.
Okay, yeah. Hmm. Didn't he work for Devasta too?
He may have it. He's a landscaping company, so
yeah.
He knows what he
seems to know
he's talking about.
Yeah. Bamboo. That should definitely be very
invasive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on the restricted one in the back,
yeah.
So one thing that should be restricted. I don't see it. I don't know either. The Australian pine.
No, you can't do anything.
That's what they include in Australian pine.
I don't know. It'd be a question.
They should be restricted.
The only thing, yeah, no, I would.
Yeah.
A little bit of it. Goes down 6 feet, 10 feet.
Again, we don't have to vote on it now. If you get an opportunity to look at it, if there's any additions, we can certainly add.
On Jupiter Island, I pulled two out of. They let me take them out of the dunes. They hate them down there so much, Australian pines.
Yeah.
So, and they're very bad. The needle
is
now
on here. Is Brazilian pepper?
Yeah, you're right.
Go on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
The only thing I would like them to do, and it's certainly not a requirement, is if they could create a book or something with little pictures of all these things.
Yeah, pictures.
There's some of us that have no idea what they're called.
But, I mean, to...
Yeah.
You have to look it up online.
Yeah. You only have to do it once. It's like a little catalog.
Is it still alphabetical? Because...
Yes.
Oh, good.
I mean, I could go through and Google all of them.
I don't know.
I think we can just summarize.
Yeah. Well, we can approve.
Put numbers next to them from 1 to 10. Approved. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, prohibited. Approved
with an exception to.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. It kind of a lot of retaining walls.
A lot of trees and bushes.
Yeah. That takes care of landscaping.
I think they.
Yep. So that was the wall block thing we did, landscaping. Oh, okay. Fruit tree. Are we prohibiting fruit trees from being planted? Is that it?
Okay, but we're not making anybody take any out.
No, I don't think you can do that.
Unless they are neglected and a hazard. Okay, so Blaine Keller was our person, architect, driveway. Oh, this is the painting of driveways.
Oh, are you looking at art?
It's now. I think we're going to.
Are we ready to go to that? It's on your bullet list.
Yeah. It's detail and registration. Okay, the only other rule and regulation, I guess, has to do with vehicles with commercial removal decals, which are registered as private vehicles, must remove decals or magnets when parked or park in garages.
When they are in the garage, they have to
park in the garage. Yeah, there were some things here I had questions on in these rules as I read through these. That was just an added suggestion that when we talk about commercial vehicles by removable decals, those are like, the flower shop has a magnetic thing or something. They're leaving their sign, the thing on the
Papa John's pizza,
whatever. Just it needs to look like a normal vehicle.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The vehicles
and
with sign
vehicles look non-removable. They're not.
They're not
allowed.
They're not
here.
Permitted
yeah.
to
they'll live here now.
But unless it's in a garage.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to
12.
Yeah.
8 a.m. No, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. they're allowed outside. Then the signage ones have to be gone by 8 p.m.
Oh, really?
And they can't come in until 8 a.m. And it says right here 8 p.m. 8 a.m.
I think that's a mistake.
Well, I've always been told 8 o'clock they have to leave.
And I think it's 6. Yeah, 12 to 6.
No. 12 to 6. No. The pickup trucks and overnight, 12 to
6.
And all the vehicles.
Till 6. No. Commercial trucks are 8 p.m. They have to leave.
Yeah.
That I've read that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And you can't come in until 8 a.m.
I thought I have to.
Yeah, that's on Sunday.
I think that. Yeah, I think it's
any vehicle company signage, regardless of type of vehicle, must be garage covered or remove the signage between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. would be subject to fine.
Well, I think that was someone's, that was a mistake. That wasn't in the rules and regulations. That was just the squared off area is just new language that they would like. And they and I think the actual time it's midnight to 6 a.m., I believe.
But I thought that commercial vehicles had to leave by 8 p.m.
No.
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, I mean workers that are working.
Yeah.
They can't work till midnight on a house.
Oh, people that are working?
Yeah, I'm talking about contractor trucks.
Yeah,
they can't work till midnight.
Well, that's not necessarily the same thing, though. This is kind of related to personal work.
Well, personal, yeah, but I'm talking about commercial vehicles that come in to do work, not an owner. But commercial trucks do come in and do work. I was always told that you had to be out by 8 and you couldn't come in until 8 a.m.
Unless there was an emergency.
Right. Oh, yeah. If there's a water leak or air conditioner, water leak.
It just the only thing that says about 8 p.m. or 8 a.m., I believe, is just like that you have to call them in.
I don't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, where do we have? Is it in a covenant?
Because I could swear there's trucks have to leave by a certain hour of contract. Because
you can't have contractors working 10, 11 o'clock at night.
It says commercial vehicles, vans, or trucks delivering goods or furnishing services may temporarily park during daylight hours at any time in the case of emergency in the performance of their services for the unit owner, except for delivery of flowers, medical supplies, or equipment, food, mail, and utility services. All commercial vehicles, marked and unmarked, moving vans, trucks, trailers, and vendors shall be denied access before 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday and all day on Sunday, New Year's Eve.
Right.
So it doesn't say they have to be out by 8 p.m., but they can't be in before 8 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
So it doesn't say when they have to leave, but they can't be here before 8 a.m.
Well, that's something that can bite you in the butt if somebody's got a contractor, running a saw in the garage doing carpentry
work. Monday through Saturday.
At 11, 10, 11 o'clock at night. That's just... Yeah.
Call the police.
Huh?
Call the police.
Yeah, but you got to have a rule.
Well, then it's a sign. Then it's a noise ordinance.
Covenants change. That should be 8 p.m. is plenty of time for a contractor.
I remember Hotwire. They said they had, when they were doing our Hotwire, they said that we have to be out here by 8.
Yeah.
We have a limit.
I can swear, and that doesn't say anything, huh?
Not that.
We need to add that. Cause you just can't have a guy.
That's covenants.
Yeah, you can't have somebody working 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night on a house and making noise.
I think out of the 8 p.m. rule, as far as Hotwire goes, I think out of the post. Well, then what we need to do is we need to impose that period.
But that's part of the covenants change along with the other things.
Yeah, the other things in covenants. Don't you agree that that's plenty late enough for a contractor
unless it's an
emergency. I get that.
Right. I don't know enough about what type of services or things like that. Let's say that it's like a babysitting, right? And then they have a babysitting car, and they're babysitting overnight.
They have a babysitting car?
Well, car that says this company's babysitting business or whatever.
We can put in an exception for babysitters. I'm talking about the guy with the saw in the garage doing carpentry at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. I don't want to hear that crap.
Right. Well, that falls onto nuisance.
We've made an exception not in the covenants but in the rules and regulations for pet sitters.
Yeah.
So maybe it would be in there that we could
add babysitters.
Right. Childcare.
Yeah, childcare. I don't have any problem. But commercial contractors need to leave by 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. Actually, we threw them out at 6 when I was at Harbor Point. They had to be out by 6 o'clock. Gone.
Not leaving.
Gone. So I think 8 is huge generosity. I mean, who wants to, like, let's think about it. You're eating your dinner with 8 o'clock and somebody's running a saw and doing all this noise. That's, is 8 early enough?
Yeah.
You think that's the...
Yeah, nobody wants to hear counter machines.
It's late
enough. No, I mean 8 o'clock, yeah. 8 p.m. Is that we should...
Should I work out with Howard?
Mm-hmm. All right. We don't want 7 or 6 or anything, huh?
Night because they were hand-digging this community.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched them. I came over and observed to see whether I wanted to put it in where I was.
So are we going to make the garage? Are we going to drive me?
We're going to go whatever's next, but we need to make sure we add the 8 p.m. thing to covenant.
And that would include SPL as well, right? Because they come in not during an emergency, but if there's going to be a storm or something like that, then they come in prior to at night, and then they start fixing up all the... They start doing a bunch of...
Yeah.
But wouldn't that
That's an emergency.
It's technically not, because it's in preparation of.
Right.
It's not during an emergency, it's in preparation of.
Well, it's emergency preparedness is what I call it. And that is a real term, emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
So I would be able to classify that as an emergency because you're doing that for the abeyance of a problem. Okay. All right, next item up for bid was Lane's addition of new plant. driveway colors.
Yeah.
No. I'm just so excited.
Well, I think all the rest of these changes are all ARC, right?
I don't know. I don't have an agenda, but this comes under P, so let me just see.
Well, it's not really.
Anyway, I mean, some of the changes that I was combing through the ARC guidelines and just little changes in wording wasn't anything major like that changes. So I don't know if you need to go through them all that right now. We can do that later. So, one of the things is the driveway color change, and then this guy here, and those are major, and then the mini split. So, those would make a big difference. Other than that, it's wording that is to clarify. The plant, driveway color, up.
We're going to do rules and regulations here too, right? Because I got some questions on this. Go ahead.
So here it is. We have white. We already talked about this right before the meeting. The color is white cloud right now. Actually, the guidelines don't say white cloud.
I didn't even know we had anything about painting.
Yeah, so I know. Concrete can be painted. And it's Sherwin-Williams White Cloud.
But you say it's not actually stated anywhere?
No. Let me just go back here. That was
the for the driveway?
Oh, SW Natural 7542.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I know it looks dark.
That's a new one.
Dark. This is looks dark, but when you put in the sunlight, it's the color of concrete. It is. It's Sherwin-Williams did a test on it. So they are.
My initial reaction is I personally wouldn't want to paint.
I'll bring it over your house and show you.
I wouldn't paint it with anything ever.
I know. But Mark, we need to paint driveways, right? I mean,
I'm sorry.
We have to paint some of the driveways.
There's some people who never painted their
house. I know.
The ones that
I don't know when it started, but some are painting them white.
I can tell you the history. What started it is there some of the concrete, you get mottling and different sort of colors, and so some people didn't like that. So that's what precipitated the whole issue of painting the people to do that.
Hey, don't look it against the white paint bottle. It's not right.
Aggregate in there so that it's not slippery.
Yeah, and that has the sand.
Yeah, you put sand in it.
Right in there.
The non-skid that you're building. Pain in the ass. And the other thing is when you go to paint it, they've got two choices, paint half and wait a week and then paint the other half because you can't park on it for several days. That paint does not, I don't care what anybody says.
I know, it's
the
steel base and the water base.
Out the street for days.
So one of the, we're not getting into it, but one of the issues when we do that apron or the grinding, then people want to paint their driveways to camouflage that.
Yes.
And that, that's a different thing, I
think. That's a different thing.
Yeah,
so,
I think that should be allowed.
So anyway, it's, it, I guess we looked at it in the Meadows as a, an option. You want to paint your driveway? You'll continually paint your driveway.
Oh, yeah. And then if you don't keep it up and it starts looking worn, then you're going to get
then
a letter that you're not maintaining your driveway.
Yeah.
And you can't have it pressure washed because it's not going to help. I mean, it'll take dirt off.
It does.
But
it will.
Not
going to
clean the paint.
Longevity.
I'm sorry.
Do the
mailboxes?
Things, but the ones like in the multifamily, like the ones in the, do they ever get painted?
We had a conversation.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
They belong to the post office.
There, the answer is, I mean, this is a special product that Sherwin-Williams provides. It's, I would say
so
they're giving a longevity. Depends on how many people.
So what are we planning on doing? The plan is that, Melanie, they want to vote on this being approved?
Being the color instead of white. What happens if you look up the street and you see white, it's not the color of cement.
We're looking at changing the color of the...
Yeah, this is, even though in this light, it is the color. It needs been determined that's the color.
All right.
Been determined by Sherwin-Williams.
Who picked the color? You guys?
Sherwin-Williams.
Oh, sure.
But then, they, like, all
the
of them
art
have to be painted.
You guys approved it.
But then all of them would have to be painted.
Well, not all of them have to be painted.
Because otherwise you have different color ones.
You have the original, then you're going to have some people with white cloud, and then white cloud faded. So eventually, it's going to be a turnover.
This is for people who want to paint it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You don't have, nobody has to paint it.
You just want to wow that color?
Eventually.
Or people that already have them painted and they want to repaint, have to repaint them this color.
Yeah, and there is going to be, Mark made a good case about this. Depending, this comes in water-based and it comes in oil-based. It's a xylene. You have to paint it. Once you paint it, you have to stay, well, at least with the, is it xylene? Is that what it's called?
And that's for single.
You have to stay with the xylene. Otherwise,
and
you
those
put water-based.
For single family?
Well, Capris and single.
And all of
them. Anybody.
Well,
anybody.
Well, not Lake.
Not Lake, because you don't paint your driveway.
I don't have a driveway.
Oh, the mailboxes.
You only carry on one conversation.
So...
All right, okay, well, let's finish with this.
I don't care.
Let's finish with this. So,
the idea is to keep the white cloud, which isn't really a cement color, or this is the cement color.
I get it.
And this lighting, which is, you know, giving off.
So we're going to bring that up for a vote when we do this rules and regulation vote. Okay.
I'll bring a piece of cement in.
We have it here, 7542 natural. Okay.
All right, so what was the other one?
Park request for lighting.
Oh, up lighting. This is page 16. Up lighting permitted in commonly maintained areas. Up lighting permitted as warm white color. ARC approval is needed. If changing upright colors after receiving approval, refer to holiday schedule in the governing document. And up lighting is the trees, the accent lighting.
Yeah.
So it wasn't in there, and we're permitting that.
Oh, there was nothing permitting that? So then, was there anything denying it? Are we creating something we don't need? Is there anything that denied it?
This is, actually, there was a house.
Oh, there was something.
About 3 years ago, there was an uplight approved in warm white, I believe.
Right, but I'm saying, is there anything prohibiting it? Is there anything?
Well, the problem brought it up was because you've got people putting all different colors of uplighting.
So you want to form, you want to make it uniform.
Yes.
But there's nothing prohibiting uplighting.
Not uplighting. It's more.
So you want to make it uniform.
The accent, the tree.
Yes.
If you do uplighting, it has to be the same with the driveway.
Yes.
If you want to paint the driveway, it has to be that color. If you want uplighting, it has to be this.
Right.
So you want to have that.
It has to be community-wide standards.
So you'll make a statement and we'll vote on it, right?
Yes.
And you'll give us something to vote yay or nay on. We don't have to go through all this again, right?
Common area, correct?
Right.
No.
Individual units.
Individual units.
Like not your front yard.
Individual units, like out in front.
Like your front yard.
Front.
Well, any tree.
Front yard.
Any side.
Or side. Up to the front door. There we go. Up to the front door.
To be in the beds.
Tony, what page is that on?
Page 16.
You know why they went to the colored lights?
Why?
Because Mark put colored lights in the.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
There you go. It's Mark's fault.
Oh, the ones that by the.
Yeah. Right up front.
Oh, I like that. I like the colors.
Okay. Colors are cool. Okay. All right.
You can have an emotional support small horse in Florida for the law.
It's a very interesting.
Okay. We're going to bring one to the hospital.
Oh, I know.
Fun fact.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you'll word that with the uplighting and color and all that.
I see where you're getting it. This was determined before I became chair. So uplighting permitting commonly maintained areas is what asking me. And so that is because past that front door
is your right.
That's what I mean.
Referring to that. And it has to be in flower beds. And I'm going to add that. So
you'll make it specific.
I will.
Okay. That's cool.
What was that?
That's cool.
There's another one, right?
Lattice.
All
right. Lattice.
You make that nice and specific, and we'll be fine. Okay. So then the next item up for bid.
Fencing lattice on page 13.
And this is on page 13. It's just adding capri to the single family home that the lattice work has to be white and 24 inches in height.
Okay. And you will
again. That was minor. Can I see that list? What else is on there?
Don't rely on that list. You've got your changes there.
I have a lot of changes. I have mini splits, okay?
Oh, you got more goodies, huh? Okay.
Sorry.
We covered the lattice. You're just adding capri.
The driveway.
The
garden flags we touched on already.
Yeah.
Lights, the paint. Oh, within the paint, the same thing on page 16. Same page. This is a Claudio suggestion, and I agree with her because the enforcement is difficult. Paint when a single family home is painted, it used to say that the wall flashing must be painted the same color as the house. It says wall flashing. It's a house. You know, the flashing on that comes up on the side. It's actually, and here's the driveway, and you have flashing to protect the roof of the driveway, and that is
metal. Oh, you
should metal.
Have those soffits?
Above the soffits. You can do a better.
Above the soffits. A lot of them are aluminum and
they're aluminum. Color. They're metal.
Yeah, they're metal.
It is aluminum.
The different styles of homes.
The valley.
Of a gable roof, a hip roof.
Right.
Depending on the configuration, and also if there's a wall that comes in, there is a kick plate out that
has
the flashing on it.
Yeah, the flashing,
And the original architectural requirements required that all of those be painted the same color as the house. That was part of the ARC form that was filled out. And a lot of people, and I guess the previous committee, whatever, was not checking all of that. And then, so when I go back for a sale of a unit, there's a lot of homes out there that don't have that painted. I don't understand really I didn't really understand the point of having them painted in the first place, but that was what
it's
was
flashing.
Decided.
Yeah, it's flashing.
You do see it from the street, and I guess aesthetically it might look, it's like it blends in with the house type of thing because there's the side
so
of the house there.
We want it to blend in or we don't care?
Well, the problem is the enforcement thereof. Some people don't, even though it's told to them when they paint the house that the flashing should be painted when it's newly painted. We have so many homes that don't have it painted. So I get feedback from people about why do I need to paint it when so-and-so and so-and-so, they're not painted. So
send everyone letters, and then if they don't paint it, then we paint it and we charge them.
Well, the other issue.
Well, yeah, but is it, first, before we get to that, do we really need to have it painted?
That's it. That's
well,
what I'm taking that out.
Yeah.
I'm removing that requirement.
Yeah.
So
that flashing can remain.
And if it's metal, and then it's got a finish on it. Yeah. If it's anodized or anything, you don't want it to pay.
Well, and that's all.
This is the issue, primary issue. We have a number of them out there where they were painted because it's a Galvalume product.
Galvanized metal.
And it's very difficult to get. I'm not saying impossible to get paint to adhere to it, particularly the painter that's painting their house isn't going to go out and buy some
special paint with the same color,
all grip paint or something like that to paint there. You're going to slap on that house paint.
We're going to remove that. Right? Remove that. We don't need letters. We don't need fonts.
Okay.
Let remove that.
You don't have to paint. You don't have to paint that. Okay. All right. Well. Okay. Do you have anything else on art?
Mini splits.
I agree with your language on mini splits.
Do you like it?
Yeah, but.
Is that it? We're done?
Yeah.
Oh, I read it, and I think you're right.
All right.
All right, so we're done with all that?
And let me see, string lights.
Oh, string lights.
Oh.
You lake monitors.
Is that string lights?
I think it's.
I have no opinion.
It's a safety matter. We need the string lights.
Right, as long as it's on a circus, I have no opinion.
Made that, so you can't change it. Okay. But the
I like string lights.
Yeah.
All right, here's two different lights. The string lights were restricted for the single family in Capri, and the ARC feels that it should, instead of 8 feet, they'll be allowed to go 10 feet because of the way the lanai cages work and the height in order to hang
these. These are as long as it's inside the lanai.
It's inside the lanai.
Yeah, you're saying this is Capri's?
So you're just increasing the height limit.
Yes, 2 feet.
Yeah. So who's looking in your backyard? You're restricting your lights on your. I'm kind of confused.
There's some neighbors who complain if you put them there was a neighbor and there are probably another here and there. That complained that the string lights were affecting their quality of life, so to speak.
They have a terrible light.
Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Terrible light. So if you're a Capri, now nobody can see in your yard, so they're seeing the light come over the fence.
I agree.
Seriously, this is
the
problem?
That's quite often as well.
Well, I thought they were talking about the quads that had, you know, somebody
well,
had
that's,
blown
too. That's included.
Lakemont people don't complain about Lakemont things.
They don't? Okay, well, then why is anybody else?
Lakemont people do not complain about our string lights.
Well, then why is anybody
life?
Complaining? If it's in Lakemont, why do we care?
Well, the quantity of them. It can be bearing.
But yeah, but if the neighbors, I get it, but if the neighbors don't complain, why are we complaining? That's like saying I'm going to go out to Sailfish Point and tell the billionaire in his yacht that he can't have his yacht lit up. I don't care.
It's like, if you know, there's, I guess in a Capri situation, you don't really see them, but
he's getting hungry.
It's part of our community, and that was brought up by.
So one person has made this all happen?
Yeah.
One person has made a lot.
It was always included,
so I can take that up too. But the Capris are sort of, you're right. It is in a little cocoon.
How do you? I mean, in the single families, you can't see your neighbors.
Single family. Oh yeah,
they were the problem.
That is the high big lot as they go around.
There was two neighbors that went out a bunch of times.
Really?
And somebody ended up moving out of the whole deal. So.
Thanks.
That's good. There's the solution.
They actually ended up having a fist fight.
Oh really?
Pretty bad.
Heavier neighborhood.
Never bring fist to a gunfight, people. Right. Let me tell you that right now.
So here we go. All right, last thing. All right, this is something new, and. It is Ed McCube. Does anybody?
I know Ed very well.
All right. Good old Ed. Little contraption. This is called a nebula light. And what it is, in the lanai, see this as the cage. You know, these are the.
Yes. Got it.
All right. So it's called nebula lights. That is a brand name in our cage lighting. And so within this, they just clip. Right on to you can buy
them
to a new one or an existing.
Right.
A little hole here.
Right.
So the light goes through here and it's It's like the size of an eraser, and the lights light up the cage.
Right, got it.
So it's not in our guidelines. The ARC approved it because they feel it's just a cleaner look. You know, aesthetically, it's better. It's dimmable.
Yeah, they're LED, I'm sure.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And we would have to put restrictions on them that they do come in colors. And so we would restrict.
What about height?
What is, go ahead.
The height, you've got 10 feet.
It might affect it. Like mine and the Capri, I just measured, it's about 10 feet, 5 inches.
Well, you've got some that are 16 and 17.
We might have to take up, that's why I'm discussing it. And if it's not even an option, then I won't change that.
Yeah, they shoot down. Yeah, they shoot down.
Yeah. You mean a fortune to?
Firearm.
Oh, yeah. They build a trench. And, the electrical
has. 10 years ago, I looked at some lighting.
Yeah.
But if they shoot down, then why do we care about the feet? Yeah, exactly. Don't restrict the feet.
Well, here it is. Here's the picture. It's lovely, really.
Yeah, no.
Never be seen?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
it's
very nice.
Yeah. It's like 21st century.
Why do we care what they do if it's shooting down?
So that's it. Are we going to, in the meadows, allow this type of lighting? Yes, we would have to adjust for that height. Just this lighting, maybe keep this, I don't know, it's another discussion point. String lights are 10 feet. This is obviously at the very top.
But it only shoots down. String lights are
yes.
360.
Right.
So
candle,
this is,
yes.
This is it shoots down, but what I'm thinking about is quite a number, and I'm just the angles. The ones that are at an angle like this, that are
still shooting down, but it could, if it was on the house side, it could shoot toward the back of the property. But
and we might want to. Right now we have 48 bulbs. Well, this one here, I counted that one. That's 30. I would like to go see an installation.
You said 48 bulbs.
That's what we're allowing family for the string lights. But this,
we should do 48 for the multifamily.
This looks like a
2. Yeah, you get 24.
Yeah, we're a little.
I go to up it.
I think that's the major part of it. And that's
so. We're trying to decide if we're approving these.
You know,
is that it?
I think we should allow more, and I will make that things like possibly adder or whatnot to like increase the amount of bulbs or whatever allowed in Lakemont, and then the other. Well, I can only speak for my people, but like it's stupid having to kind of like so like my string lights like they have 28 and I have to hide 4 of them. It's so stupid.
Can I comment? I think Gary has a point. This is 24 for multifamily and 48 for single family. But you know some of the single family lanais are probably smaller than some of the multifamily lanais.
I mean.
So why not just go 48 for both?
Yeah. Let's just do 48 for both.
I closed my whole.
How much were you restricted?
No, but my neighbor has.
And my life's only 28, so I have to hide 4.
Oh, jeez.
So, I mean.
This to me is not objectionable. This is a two-story house. So you got to bring this way down. It's not going to be near as invasive to some neighbor when it's one story. And, you know, I mean, people get way too out of line on some of this stuff. It's just, I don't think that's objective.
Now, you know, when he does his nebula lights, are you only going to put them in the horizontal? Or is he going to go down the angle?
He's not doing anything until we approve it. And we can't approve.
48 or multifamily?
I don't have a problem with 48.
We got the vote, so.
I don't have a problem with 48. Does anybody have a problem with 48?
I would say with this, come. The only restriction I would say on this, kind of based on what you're all talking about with the angles and everything, that they can only be in the horizontal headers.
Yeah, you have a good point about that. Well, because
that could probably be
then they have to be straight.
Well, that would be the whole, you could do the whole perimeter
and the top pieces.
Right, but you couldn't, because the ones on the sides...
No, you don't really... I don't think, see, that one, if you notice, it looks like they're all on the horizontal, doesn't it?
It is. It's pretty flat.
Right. Yeah, because that's flat on top.
There
so
are,
then they're on the horizontal, so
it's
shooting down. Not on the angled ones.
Just only put them on the horizontal.
Yeah, they can do the whole perimeter, and then the horizontals across the top, and it should be fine.
All right, so I'll...
Where the horizontal's going.
So is that what we're leaning towards?
What's that?
Where the horizontal's going into the property.
Right, just into your pool area, which I think would be
fine. Yeah, just anything that, if it all shoots straight down, it should be allowed.
Okay.
If it all shoots straight down, it can't shoot up to the side. But the thing about the lake, now, Yuri has the pulse on this. So Lakemont people, is anybody in Lakemont complaining about lights, string lights?
No, we like them.
Okay, so there's nobody there.
We just needed to stop.
Where did the complaints start with the string lights in Lakemont?
I have no idea. Someone not from Lakemont came into Lakemont and then limited us to 24 freaking lights, even though no one in Lakemont complained. And I wasn't on the board back then, but I am now, so I'm asking to change it to just allowing 48 for everyone on that set.
It started probably 2.5 years ago.
All right, but...
Guthrie and the two neighbors, Mr. Wolf and Mr. Pesavento.
Oh, my buddy Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Pesavento. And, of course, they're going to go, when you say you can't have something, which lights above the ceiling, and this guy could see him in his backyard, and he could see his lights in his den, it was out of control. Of course, Mr. Guthrie went to all the villages and saw all the other houses that had various lights. And at the time, when I took it over, it was already thrown back by the board. They didn't want to deal with it. It came back to architectural. And when we asked one of them that he needed to tone it down, put it on a dimmer, that wasn't working because all of a sudden it was the holiday time and the lights were bright. Now this guy's fighting with this guy. I mean, to a point you had to bring in the, fights. They were fighting, physically fighting.
Well, these are a pair of people that are probably
ridiculous.
Going
I'm telling
to fight
you ridiculous.
Over
the,
who's
to the point where I would have said, if I had the authority, I would have said no lights, nobody, because
it was hard.
Because it's selective enforcement. Because we're not telling, Lakemont. We told them, okay, so you can't have hanging, like the carnival, and then they had the wire lights and the plastic, and, it gets out of hand. That's what they look like.
But who is complaining about Lakemont? That's what I wanted to ask.
Well, he was someone from Lakemont. About Lakemont because Lakemont already had them, and they wanted to know why they were restricted because they were hurt, they were annoying to each other, and you can't...
So let's change it back.
Worried.
So let's say I'm just trying to get my head around this. So we get Lakemont at 48 lights. So what are we saying? That would generate a problem because somebody in a Capri would want to do 48 lights and they're not allowed?
Everyone should
be able to do 48.
Yeah, I mean, that just, who gives it? Who gives it?
Yeah.
I should complain about Carl because in his addition, I can see his hat lights in the ceiling through the lights that are up at the top of his wall. So, I mean, I should complain about his big...
They're
like this.
No, you have an instance like that, but... Next to Guthrie, there was that also.
The world's in serious trouble, and it's not over lights.
In summary,
we're
going back to 48, right?
Yes.
In summary,
go to 48 and put the lights on horizontal planes only.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
The only other thing I want to change, that's major. Back when the arc before me wanted to do...
What am I like about that?
Security lights.
Okay, we need to talk about lights.
So we talked about this. It's,
all right, so we're good with the 48 lights in Lakemont, right? Or anywhere?
I have to bring this back to the ARC to approve before the board.
The board's going to approve it, right?
The board essentially is. Let's just take a straw poll. Obviously, you'll approve it. I'll approve it. Sit, four, five. Okay, so the board is going to approve. See, you can go home with a victory tonight. You can go home with a victory tonight. Parade, fire, it works. All right. So if you can bring that back to us. How you handle it at ARC is up to you, but you can bring it back to us to 48.
All right. Okay? And the other thing is...
Security lights, you said.
Increasing the lighting of, the security lights. So right now we only have the original and plus two. And what was the original put in by DePasta?
The original? The original garage. One over the side garage door in the Capri's and two at the front door. So they were putting five. And the backyard also had two.
Okay, so seven lights on the house?
Well, in some instances people are saying, no, I never had that. So I'm saying six lights, or we can even make it seven. I think in this day and age, security...
And then are we including the lights that come with, like, the Ring cameras and so forth?
Exactly.
Okay, and they only come on with motion.
It has to be motion sensor. Right. That's all written in already.
Okay, yeah. So and they have to be not shooting out at the street, like mine would shoot down.
Right, footprint has to.
Mine shoot down.
So the idea is, it's the wording and using the interpretation. You know, it's not real clear.
And
so Jean, 6 or 7, I
Jean demands that they come on when she goes in her driveway next door. She demands my Ring lights light up her driveway when she walks down her driveway. Yeah, she demands it. She absolutely wants my lights to come on so she can see when she's walking in the dark. Okay, so they, so
wait,
7?
Shine that over if anybody else is
she asked me to.
That's in the guidelines.
She asked me to, so you got to talk to Jean. She's 80 years old, 90 years old. I'm not arguing.
What kind of lights are you speaking of? Are you talking about mounted lights? Are you talking about recessed lights? Or what are you talking about?
What it is that you're talking about all the lights that are around the house. And that's, I mean, we're looking at the...
Are we talking about, like, Mr. Gilmore?
Mr. Gilmore,
oh,
no.
Oh, 75 lights on the
well, office. That's all lights. You're talking about the coach lights. You're talking about all the lighting that lights up your house. Isn't that what's referred to?
No, more than six lights in total may be installed to the soffit for security. The locations with drawings
that's
to be approved by ARC.
So
that's more than coach lights, right?
That's an addition to?
Yeah, that's what she's talking about, the soffits.
It's
two separate categories.
Yeah.
Right.
There's security lighting,
right?
And then there's your house lighting that's
the
already on
light.
The house.
Okay, so this is not coach lighting. This
no.
is just additional
this
security
is, this
lighting.
This is additional
security.
Lighting.
And then you have patio. Did we separate out the patio lights as far as the... never did that.
We're losing Yuri, Faye.
That's my best time.
Okay,
she's having a
late
night.
Anyway, yes. So six lights plus the coach lights. That's a lot of lights.
That's a lot of lights.
But if you're talking about lights that aren't on all the time, what's the restriction on lights that stay on is what I want to know. I mean, lights that can stay on. Like, isn't it a complaint of Mr. Gilmore's situation where they stay on all the time?
There are no motion sensors, but there's quite a lot of them.
Yeah, well, that's another thing to address. But the point is,
to restrict... I mean, we want to provide the homes with enough lighting.
Of course, but
so
there's a point of excess.
Yes.
There's always a point.
They only have one.
Right.
Yeah, on the
side.
Of the building.
That barely works. Most of them are
two,
broken.
One on the patio, one on the security light. On the.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, but.
So Lakeland people have been asking if the ones on the outside and the inside, they said that, but I think the outside is the one that you guys maintain, right?
Yeah, the outside.
They said they get a lot of bugs, like a lot of bugs because there's a hole at the top.
I don't know.
So they were asking if we can just like.
Oh.
So Melanie.
I don't.
Are they LED or are they mercury vapor?
No, there would be LED. Those are probably replaced.
Well, then there's no heat. You can enclose them. Yeah.
Heat. I don't recall the configuration.
Okay.
What would happen
so
if they could cover them?
I think because the coach is separate. That's for like
LED, there's no heat, there's no problem.
The single family
so
lights, right?
So house lights, just focus a little bit. House lights, seven.
The house comes with.
Not the soffits now.
No.
But no.
Garage, hang on.
Garage coach, front
side,
door,
Two
at the front door.
Right.
Probably a double in the backyard.
Right, right. So
and
we're saying,
security was a different amount. People want to put security lights up. So the security lights were, you could put up two, with, and the arc would decide where they went. Okay, because where they had to attach
them. Well, on a camera, you're going to put it on the front of the garage, like I did,
see
your driveway and out front.
And that could be two.
And the lights shoot down, and they're only on with motion.
Yes.
See, we don't have to worry about that because we get 48
And it was
now.
Four. No more
so.
Wait, I only have three.
You have three additional to the coach lights. Three additional?
No. I'm saying I have the coach lights on the garage, and I have one ring camera that has the two lights.
It's not supposed to be in the middle, right? Yeah.
It's in the middle, guaranteed. It's way in the middle, trust me. And the spotlights shoot down. The spotlights shoot down, they don't shoot out.
Okay.
That's the only thing I have out front. That's the only thing I have out front.
All right. Patty, what are you trying to say?
No, I'm just kind of surprised. In summary, so what you're saying is that in addition to your coach lights, whether you're in single family, multifamily, wherever, in addition to your coach lights, you can have no more than six lights in total for security lighting, and that would include anything in the front, the back, the sides, or whatever.
Correct.
We're in the soffit. So it was.
Wait a minute. In the soffit. Now wait. Are you saying in the soffit, like a recessed?
It was installed.
Soffit. I understood.
To the soffit.
This is what I'm. Yeah.
That was in there before.
I thought the soffit was separate. Didn't we say the soffit is a separate issue?
Well, when I say the soffit, it's like the corner. It's not actually in the soffit.
It's not.
Talking about?
It's on the.
You're talking about the lights that come down like with that, right?
Yeah.
Like
talking
mounted
about
lights,
a mounted light, not a recessed light.
Right.
Not
recessed. Yeah, mounted.
So
all
in
right.
addition to the six lights and the four lights that you have already, the coach lights, you're talking about an additional six lights plus recessed lighting?
No recessed light.
No recessed light.
So no recessed lighting. So Mr. Gilmore is out.
No.
Well, that's another time.
Somebody told me you're allowed a certain amount in the soffit.
On the corners of the soffit, not in the soffit.
Oh, there's no hi-hats allowed in the soffit?
Your soffit.
This part of the
house. That brings the other issue with regard to any kind of installation that goes on to a multifamily home must have a release, and that release must be filled out with a check for $20 that we record with the county. So just to clarify, whether it's in the soffit, whether it's mounted on the outside of the soffit, there's a release that's required.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
I remember that because it's the they maintain the soffit.
Corrected me on that the maintenance of the soffits are done by...
Yeah, we're responsible for maintaining. So he put hi-hats in his soffit, right? Is that what you're talking about? All the way down. So he has to do $20 a hi-hat. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He's the guy to put them in. He's got all the release. The release would cover any installation that would, as a result of the work that he's done, if there's any damage, and he is responsible.
But he's only responsible. He's not responsible for each installation. They're all separate installations.
For the whole thing.
Okay.
We're Pawnee and Koo. We're going to adjourn.
All right. I think it's going to be four.
Well, there's still stuff in rules.
I got one.
Cover.
Tim, you down?
Okay.
That's what they want.
I think we might have to start
hours. Yeah.
I'm so confused on...
Yeah, I am confused on lights.
We settle on lights.
I don't think we have them.
No. It's confusing.
I think we're all getting punch happy or punch silly or whatever.
Productivity level is 99%.
I suggest...
Okay.
I make a motion that we stop our agenda at...
Lights.
Lights, and come back and finish up our... Another time?
And be clear, just tell us exactly where we have our lights.
Is this the only thing we have to do on our lights?
As far as wording within? Yeah. For major things.
Well, we still need to discuss it, but not tonight.
No.
We can't wait too long because if we're planning on doing this in February, we have to have the meeting,
14-day notice for the meeting for approving all of these changes or whatever changes.
When is that going to happen?
I would say January? Rushing is something I am totally against.
So can I just motion to like do it, like decide it on email?
You can't.
Well, we're just going to read it and whatever, and then like we can just vote for it.
How about if we just make a motion to push the approval off until March?
Yeah, I go with that. Racing is not good.
There's a lot of detail.
This is rushed.
What's the issue?
Yeah.
There's two and a half hours.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be longer than that.
Okay, wait. Stop, everybody stop.
Yeah.
I make a motion, one, that we postpone the approval of all of these until March.
Yes.
Is that the correct terminology? The time
frame. Let us table this motion until we have completed the review and then schedule a vote.
It says sometime in mid-February, date to be determined, special board meeting to approve changes in rules and regulations, guidelines, and policy statements.
We can change that.
So we make a motion to change that.
That was an estimated timeline, so
right.
I could give you all a guideline as to when we wanted to sort of accomplish this. It was supposed to be November.
Exactly. I make a motion to adjourn.
No, you can't.
So let's make a motion to have another meeting, and we have to notice it, right? 14 days and all that.
Well,
not for a workshop.
48 hours for the actual vote. Yes.
Why can't we do the workshop as part of the meeting on the 31st?
The life of the
motion. Yeah. What do we have on that agenda?
We'll have tons.
We will.
It just is normal.
Are we making a motion?
I made a motion to adjourn. He seconded it. Let's vote on it.
You have to wait until that is accepted.
I haven't accepted any motions at the moment.
I wonder if there's anybody listening on the phone. Yeah, we got to get this right. We're going to get out of here in less than 5 minutes, I promise you. Okay.
Motion number one, we have an additional meeting in a week.
Additional meeting in a week?
Do I have a second? No. Okay.
I put a motion on the table
that we schedule an additional meeting to review these changes. Date to be determined.
Yeah.
Additional meeting
to finish this.
And date to be determined.
Date to be determined.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Okay. Unanimous.
Motion to adjourn.
Second by Tim.
I'm seconded.
Aye.
All in favor.
What time is it?